The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
This is PFW in Progress.
It's a Mega Bowl. What's not to understand? This is history in the making. You're going to want to tell your grandkids and their grandkids and their grandkids. And when they look back in the annals of history, they're going to be talking about three things: discovery of fire, invention of the submarine, and Mega Bowl.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
I mean, you can just think of me as Bambi's mother. I make sure nothing bad happened to you.
Bambi's mother got shot, right?
Yeah, first scene.
I remember that. The credits were still rolling and everything.
Paul Perillo.
The crowd is really excited tonight.
They know what's at stake, Dick.
Yep.
Now I'm talking about free corn dogs.
Oh, that's right. It's free corn dog night.
And Andy. And Andy?
Here they come, the Flint Tropics Ball Girls Cheerleading Squad, keeping the crowd energized through the timeout.
They just got such big, what, hearts.
Yes.
Big, bouncy, jiggly hearts.
Well, hearts don't really bounce, so now I think you're talking about something else.
Andy Hart.
But I like breasts.
Eric Scalavino.
It's a great question. Tomorrow, after the game, I will wrestle a bear.
You're not going to want to miss this, folks. And if you're a small child, you creep into your mama's bedroom at night and you lift about $40 out of your mom's purse.
For now, anyway.
Stewie's insane. He can rip my head off.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Stewie?
Ah! Everybody panic! Oh, my God, there's a bear loose in the Coliseum!
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It is Thursday, and it is the day after the Boston Red Sox have won the World Championship for Major League Baseball. Congratulations to them. Convincing 6-1 win over the St. Louis Cardinals, a formidable opponent. A lot of people don't think so. I think so. I think they were a good team. And I think, but I think the Red Sox were the best team all year, not just... You know, they weren't late bloomers or getting hot late. Throughout the year, they were just consistently the best, and that's rare in baseball.
Hitting, pitching,
yeah, I mean, there
defense.
Was one time where, you know, they slipped out of first place briefly, and you know, people were like, uh-oh, here it comes. And no, they turned it right around and came right back, and they did it with teamwork. So
Boston strong.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got to tell you, I'll be honest. Yeah.
Yeah,
I thought there were a lot of cheap pops last night using Boston Strong just to get an ovation out of
yeah,
the crowd.
Yeah, absolutely.
Felt like Mick Foley playing, pandering to the crowd.
Yeah.
I didn't care for it.
Shane Victorino.
Yeah, I didn't care for it.
Yeah. But
it's great to see another title.
It
now,
is.
Are you like, because they have a third title now in the Patriots era?
No, not at all.
Is there
all.
Like
in
any
fact, somebody,
organizational jealousy?
Somebody else that works here came to me this morning and says, you know, right away, I was really happy and really glad for them. But now I'm a little jealous. I'm like, I'm not. I mean, nothing they're doing affects what we're doing. I mean, the fact we can both win. You know, it's not like, you know, if they win, we can't.
Right.
You know, so I'm happy for them. And, of course, I want the Patriots to win.
And they won in 04.
Right.
And we followed a couple of months later and won the Super Bowl. They
won
in 07. That was the year that we went undefeated and came very, very close. We went to the Super Bowl again a couple of months later. So
here we go.
Here we go, Fred.
You know, now Paul's back on the bandwagon.
Now I think they have a chance.
He's back on the bandwagon. All right, well, welcome to PFW in Progress. It's Thursday here at Gillette Stadium. A little chilly, would you say overcast outside?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah? What's the
damp
forecast for the game on Sunday?
Last I saw, it was fine.
Fine?
It was, you know, partly cloudy.
It's going to be cold, though.
Yeah. Oh, well, I mean, we're starting to get in November.
Yeah,
it is November.
Warm Thursday, Friday, then cold Sunday.
When you say cold, what do you mean? 30s?
40s.
40s.
Yeah.
Cold.
But remember, it's a 4 o'clock game, so the sun's going to go down.
That's
it's
true.
Gonna get a
yeah,
little
and
nippy.
It's supposed to be in the 60s the next couple days, so it'll feel colder.
It's going to be a chilly one.
Okay.
But, you know, Patriots,
Fred, what
Steelers.
Do you want?
What else would you rather have?
What are you getting, Paul?
I don't know.
You could probably do this off air.
Give me a what?
Paul's questioning the validity of your credit card you put in front of him. It's got little horses on it. He thinks it's fake.
And the number.
Have you resorted to that? You're using fake credit cards now?
Whenever I can find them. yeah.
Steven Gostkowski, AFC Special Teams Player of the Month, Fred.
Good for him. Well deserved.
Having a great year.
He really is.
Tied for second in the league in the touchbacks on kickoffs. 15 straight field goals. He could break the record for most 40-plus field goals in franchise history.
Is this anything to do with the new holder?
I don't think so.
No?
I think he's a good kicker. and he's in a warm streak. Well, I think all these guys are sort of streaky, and I don't want to jinx him, but
right.
he's due to go the other way.
Yeah,
I'm going to be honest with you.
Yep, so that was good news. Any other news coming out of yesterday? This morning, again, perfect
attendance?
Relatively perfect attendance.
What does that mean?
That means it would be perfect if Mayo wasn't hurt and Wilfork wasn't hurt.
Oh.
And, you know,
well,
then
yeah,
it would be perfect.
Everybody can say that, but you have 53... This show's a
debacle.
Well,
just keep talking, Andy.
You have 53 guys on the roster. They were all on the practice field. You even had the guy that's on IR on the practice field. It's good attendance. This is a debacle. He's just yelling in the background his order for lunch. I thought we were professional.
Why'd you think that?
I don't know. But, yeah, I mean, the great Paul Perillo told me you don't get healthier as the season goes on, and it feels like Patriots are getting healthier. Shane Vereen's going to be back soon.
But are they?
It's all falling into place.
I just banged my elbow.
Are they getting healthier? Some guys are coming back, and other guys are going out.
Who's going out?
Vollmer, they just put on IR.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
in my mind,
you can dismiss the guys if you want.
I know, what I say in the offseason, but I told you when they gave him $8 million, they were giving $1 million per game. He'd play his 8 games this year and then land on IR.
Be that as it may.
I was prepared for Sebastian Vollmer to not play a full season.
You know, they might get Tlaib back, they might get Kelly back, but they've lost Vollmer. And, you know, by the time another guy comes back, they'll probably lose somebody else.
Could the O-line play any worse? I mean, they've sucked so far.
Yes. Is Vollmer better than Cannon? Yes or no?
Yes.
I'm going to be Andy Hart.
Has it played out on the
here.
Field with Tom Brady on pace for a career high in sacks and getting knocked around like, you know, an abusive woman?
That's a really, really wrong thing to say.
What are you
say.
Doing?
Wait, seriously, tell him to leave. Yeah. Let's have a flashback.
Let's go.
Let's have a Super Bowl memories.
Did you see Brandon Merriweather got his talking to, speaking of idiots who were told to
I heard
go?
Not only the NFL, but the NFLPA.
Oh, yeah, and they issued a statement, you know, Brandon understands that we're going to stick together, blah, blah. No, he doesn't. He actually doesn't. You're telling a lie in your statement. He does not.
And now somebody has to say that for him.
Right.
Yeah.
It's an embarrassment. He is an embarrassment to the league.
He's
more of an embarrassment to the Redskins than their name.
What else? But
Dennis Callahan thought it was fine. Everything he said.
Idiots.
So we went over the practice. Eric will
healthy
be by later. We'll do the picks later. I know on John Rook's show later he'll have Jim Nance. So that's something to look forward to.
Well, they were looking forward to Phil Sims because that's what they were told they were getting early.
Jim Nance is just as good, if not better.
You know, if you want to say that, you can. I don't agree, but.
All right.
One guy played for Belichick. One guy has broadcast virtually every game of Belichick's career and is as tight with Belichick as anyone. The other guy's, you know, a play-by-play guy.
Webradio@patriots.com is the email address.
He's in another one of those.
Oh, yeah.
I stayed up late. I watched the whole game. You know, you knew what you were getting.
508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. 855-PATS-500.
Are we going to have the Red Sox here on Sunday, you think?
I don't know.
How does that work?
Well, I was thinking, you know, there's a Bruins game, a Celtics game, and a Patriots game, all home games between now and Sunday. Will they go to all these?
And Revs. Home Revs playoff game.
Will they go to all?
I cannot ever recall a time where all four, and if you want to throw the Revs in there, all five teams are playing at the same time.
Right.
In season.
Right.
I don't think that's ever happened
Well,
before.
Recently we've been kicked out because of lockouts and stuff. Like last year it was the NBA or hockey last year, the NBA the year before that. So it does feel like there's more going on.
Yeah,
but the fact that the Red Sox would have to be a deep playoff.
No,
run,
I know.
You know,
but part of it is that
in order to get
fall sports didn't start when they should start in recent years, so we lost those, and the Red Sox were out.
Well, yeah, the Red Sox were out.
The
Red
lost
Sox
two
would
of
have
four.
To be in the World Series.
No, I know, but you were down 2-4 instead of just 1-4. So half your teams that could have been playing
are
automatically out.
But it's like when they play in the playoffs, when the winter teams are in the playoffs, the Red Sox are playing, but the Patriots aren't in season.
Right.
So it's almost it's a perfect storm. You have to go to the late in the World Series to get to the Celtics.
I was thinking of the time we had Schilling here in the golf cart and the PR guy.
We were just talking about that.
Really?
Bilo just
calling
said,
him in maybe for Sunday.
Him in. Maybe Yui Hara hurt himself in the celebration last night.
That was funny.
Did you see his kid?
Yeah, that was great.
What did he say? Good.
You know, how do you feel? Good. Are you going to have a celebration? What kind of celebration? Crazy.
This is Koji's son?
Yeah.
I didn't watch any of the. I watched the post game on field celebration when they were jumping on each other. I'm not really a big into
fun
those,
guy.
Those
yeah.
No, no.
People
it,
standing
it was,
up.
No, see, hard that's, hitting. That's
anything
actually,
that involves standing up.
No, actually, that's the,
yeah,
actually the part.
Imagine him at that game last night. They stood up virtually the whole game.
Right.
That's the part that
would've
I like.
Fuming.
I like the players when they're interacting with each other, jumping on top of each other and their reaction. It's the stuff that you made fun of, Fred, that I have no interest in. You know, if the guys come in and they're interviewing with these just ridiculous questions. How do you feel?
Yeah, Aaron Andrews with her hard-hitting questions.
Oh, my God.
Forget Aaron Andrews. I'm talking about the local people.
Listen.
At least Aaron Andrews looks good.
What hard-hitting questions she's supposed to ask?
I'm just saying, like, it's just useless to me.
I was telling you guys.
The celebration I love.
I watched all that after, and, you know, I was switching between all the local news channels, and I think it was Channel 7, one of the women at the desk back at the studio, they were showing film of the people in the streets celebrating, you know, and they had the police out there. And this woman says, well, you know, we know millennials like to celebrate in large groups, and they like to go outdoors. And I'm thinking, what are you talking about?
I didn't
about?
Even know what a millennial was. Fred had to explain it to me.
I don't actually know the specific.
Yeah, baby boomers don't like to celebrate with other people.
And is a millennial specifically? What's the age?
I think 62 and up.
Millennial?
I think it's younger.
Oh, no,
I thought
no,
it was younger.
No,
that's the way you explained it to me before.
Yeah, it's younger.
Baby boomers end at 61, I think, and then.
Well, then there's like Gen X, Gen Y.
Yeah, Gen X goes from 62 to, I don't know, and then millennials are the
youngest.
The youngest.
College students.
Yeah, the
now.
College students,
okay.
Right. But they like to celebrate in groups, and they like to go outdoors.
Right.
What does that mean?
Because most of us, when we get really excited when our team wins, we just want to be by ourselves and alone with our thoughts.
You. I mean, you do, but
absolutely the opposite. Absolutely the opposite. I love, like you said, like the thing with Koji, like how like he jumps up onto a team. You know, he jumps. So I love that after every game, like how excited they get. That's the part of this team that I really like to watch. Was when something happens good, they're not like this business. Like, oh, well, you know, we're supposed to win.
Right.
You know, they're pulling on the beards and getting really into the stuff. And
flying like airplanes across the field.
Like, I like that stuff. I don't necessarily need to hear Johnny Gomes tell me it's a museum and it's usually quiet, but today was as loud as it's.
Plus,
it's
I once again
ridiculous.
Called BS. Uehara's translator answered before Uehara said anything. He just made it up.
Right.
He flat out said something before Uehara said anything. So he's answering for him.
Johnny Gomes was actually telling the guy who was interviewing him what question to ask.
Right.
I don't care. I like him.
He's something, though. That Uehara?
Huey?
Yeah.
Uehara.
Uehara.
He is. Yeah. Phenomenal. I have the feeling he will come crashing to Earth next year and suck, but.
His career numbers are not far off of what he did this year, which I was really surprised to find out.
Why did he have that stretch where he sucked?
He had a bad playoff in 2011.
Right.
He had a really bad playoff.
And what happened? Like, why?
I don't know. He was terrible in the ALCS, and they kept him off the roster for the World Series.
Because you know me. I love the Red Sox, but one of the downs in, like, my whole perfect prototypical teams is they've won the World Series twice with closers who throw, like, 86. Like, not the guy who comes in and throws 99 and strikes everybody
and
out.
And in both cases, those guys were phenomenal
right.
in the playoffs. Because Folk, wasn't anywhere,
on board
Folk wasn't anywhere near as good as Uehara was all year. But in the playoffs that year, he was pretty good.
I lust after guys who throw gas, and he's the exact opposite. You're like, well, I don't know how he does
it. He does throw the low 90s, though.
Yeah, that's not really. For a close, you see the guys on the other team?
No, I know. Yeah.
I like the guys that come out big leg kick 99.
The guys on the other team might have a little, extra boost to help them out.
Okay.
He's such a typical Boston fan.
Well,
the guy who just won the freaking MVP of the World Series by batting 750 and slugging 2 billion.
And if I ever said that he's not on an extra boost.
Of course
I have.
He single-handedly won you the World Series. If you take him out of the Red Sox lineup, you're not in the World Series and not winning it.
Who said that Lester should have won the MVP?
Maserati.
Yeah. It's not you. Remember when I was joking with you guys yesterday? And
the only way Lester
I said, do you think Ortiz will get the MVP? And I was joking. Evidently, there was a question.
Brian says, anyone born after 1980 is a millennial.
Oh. So I'm a Y-er?
You're a what?
A Y or what am I?
You're a Gen
X. 2 years before a millennial, so.
You're a Gen X.
I'm a Gen X. So what am I? Like, what are my traits?
You're an idiot.
That was a great answer.
No, the best part was he goes,
I'm
okay,
only
good.
That's not.
I'm
nice.
Not. He's been yelling at me all day.
What did I yell at you for?
I don't know. You'll get into it.
Did you? Do you
like you're yelling at me for like not celebrating the right way last night?
No, that's just shtick. What do you think of Farrell? You watched all of it and how he handles himself. What do you?
I think that you can't understate the effect that he had on that team. I think that that team was in shambles. I think Bobby Valentine was. I mean,
so good.
I think he was close to being insane.
He was like the archetype.
I really
I think.
Do. I think he was close to being insane.
It'd be great if he came out and said, you know, Farrell won with my team.
So the next guy coming in really had a lot of work to do.
But I was particularly impressed with him last night. I liked it's a stupid little thing, I guess, but he did the in-game interview, and at the last, just Tim McCarver, before we go, I wanted to say, you know, I've had a great career for this game. And then when he got on the podium, even though he was like the sixth guy, he was the first guy to congratulate Mike Matheny and the Cardinals for a great year.
Good point.
He's very
did
in control.
Did he congratulate or thank Mike Matheny? Because I might have thanked him.
He's very in control, confident without being arrogant or defensive or having to prove that he does have confidence.
Yeah.
I like him, and I like Sherrington. Very, like, understated, kind of coy in the background.
It's amazing how similar to Theo he is, but how opposite he is in
the egomaniac Theo.
Oh, my God. Yeah, he was like, the whole night, I was just along for the ride.
Right.
But he's got his
team. And that's a lot of bull.
He sounds just like.
I think he did one of the most remarkable things in baseball history.
I agree.
Beyond just the stupid
trade.
The best
thing they did was get Larry Lucchino out of that room and give Ben Sherrington the keys.
But even beyond that, whoever you even give credit to, if Lucchino's involved, I think it's one thing to say we need a power hitting first baseman, so we're going to go get a guy who hit 38 home runs last year. I think it's so hard to say we're going to change the culture and we need to go get four or five guys. It's such an inexact science. It's just based on reputation. And how often does Bill tell us you can put guys together, but you don't know
how it's going to
play out?
Right.
And for them to do that, now there's some luck involved. It worked, but I think he did a phenomenal job.
And you just look at it, and people now, they say, well, this is going to change the way the Red Sox try to do it. They're going to find guys that will be comfortable playing in Boston, you know, guys that are extroverts, for lack of a better word. Well, how do you know that?
Right.
You can't identify that. It's remarkable. Yeah, you can see guys like Victorino and Gomes, and they played, and they were sort of outgoing types, but you don't know how that's going to play in your locker room. Like Andy's point, a guy like John Lester is really the opposite of that. How do you know those two guys are going to mesh?
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, what happens if they're like, you know, hey, you just got here. Keep your mouth shut.
Right.
And all of a sudden, you know.
Hey, Gomes, button your shirt, loser.
You're 10 games under .500 in April instead of 10 games over, and the whole season takes on a different complexion.
You know, everybody loves Big Poppy, but, you know.
It ain't for everybody.
Right. And when he doesn't like something, you know, that ruins the whole thing, you know. So, yeah, I think they got lightning in a bottle a little bit, but I think
but an incredible job by Sherrington.
I think Sherrington did an awesome job, and I think Farrell did a great job, and you know it wasn't an easy job. That team was a mess. Bobby Valentine was.
Yeah, the only thing is that whole team was gone. Like Farrell inherited a whole different team.
Oh, I know.
Magic Johnson should get us a World Series ring.
You know, it was just a real mess, and so they turned it around. You got to give credit to the owners, you know, Werner and Henry.
You know, much criticized owners who now have three World Series rings.
Oh, I'm guilty of criticizing them. I echo Fred's sentiment. I can't stand Lucchino. I can't stand Henry. And I think
you got to give them credit.
I think Werner is just a circus clown.
They've won three World Series in three different ways in three kind of times.
Yep.
It is what it is. I know Paul's not big on the whole results oriented, but when you win the World Series, the results
matter. I don't mind Henry or Werner. It's the Lucchino is
slimy.
Yeah, I don't.
Were you worried at all about the smoke?
See, I hate Henry the worst.
Were you worried at all about the smoke when Henry was actually speaking and they'd had the fireworks and you saw that, but then all of a sudden it settled,
right?
And he's like, "Fire!"
Whoa!
I was like. Oh, great. Now we got Boston Strong is going to end in another tragedy.
When we take our break, I got some great pictures of.
By the way, Kevin was there
on upstairs.
What were you there on the field for?
Snuck in.
What do you mean you snuck in?
He got in with Walt's.
He had a ticket and then one of the cameras from Fox.
Yeah, I got on the field for the melee after, but I took pictures like of the last.
Did you see Jenny Dell?
Oh, did you have a ticket to the game? Oh.
No.
Oh, you didn't have a ticket?
No.
Oh.
God, no.
So what were you doing down there?
Just celebrating. Being a honk.
You and Tim Oakes.
Being a honk.
Being a kid.
Yeah, there's a big difference between him and Tim Oakes.
$1,700.
Well, yeah, Tim Oakes spent like $850, I think,
for
bleachers.
Ticket. Yep.
And I couldn't do
that. Well, good for him. He caught the right game.
And I asked him, I said, what would you have done if they had lost? And he said, I probably would have looked for tickets to buy again today. Like, he could have been $4,000 into investment.
So speaking of that.
No chance for me.
I got in and
now that you can make fun of me for that.
I
no
get
chance
in,
would I spend that kind
I
of
get
money.
In after the second inning, like in the top of the third. And when I was walking around Lansdowne Street to go to the media will call backboard, like the Ted Williams statue is, there was a line, and I'm not exaggerating, of at least 150 people that were in line already for in case they lost for Game 7 to sleep overnight for Game 7 tickets the next day.
I guess if better to do that than spend $1,700.
Oh, for sure.
So I guess they lacked faith, huh?
Yeah, I guess. But it was impressive to see that many people, all with, like, sleeping bags, everything. And it was cold last night.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I was walking to my car at, like, 3:30 in the morning, and it was freezing.
That is kind of the cool thing about baseball, you know, with the whole series thing. And, you know, in football, it's the Super Bowl, and there's no reason to stand in line because the tickets are sold years in advance.
Well, you know? They're both just very – I mean, it's also in a neutral city. It's just a very different thing, entity, both cool and unique in their own way. You know, there's part of me that wonders, and I was thinking about this the other day, what would happen if you made any other sport a one and done? Hockey, basketball, baseball. No series anymore.
Right.
We are going to play one game.
Right.
Winner take all.
Yeah, see, I don't think in baseball you could ever do that because the pitcher is such a factor. And if you have that one dominant pitcher, you know.
So?
Yeah, but it's is that
you'd
what
give them time. You'd ensure that there was at least 5 days rest so both teams
do you really
could
want
pick
that,
their...
though? You know, the team with the best pitcher, the best one pitcher, wins 90% of the time. You know, do you really want that?
Who was the best pitcher last night?
I'm saying 90% of the time. I think, you know, I think most of the time that if you have that one dominant pitcher, you're going to win.
I'm just in
a one-game series.
I just was thinking about the intensity. Like, I was thinking about World Cup. The Revs are playing their series this week. It's a two-game series. Like, World Cup is the biggest sporting event in the world, correct?
Right.
And it's one game, right? Like, as you move on, it's one game, and you win the championship.
I think so, yeah.
So, like...
Well, you have... Isn't it
the
like
qualifying.
It's pool play to get there, though, right?
But what?
Once you get to it...
Quarterfinal, semifinal,
well, I would continue to have series for like hockey or whatever, but I just think the intensity of a single game for any would be fascinating.
I totally agree. There's nothing like the intensity, but I wonder if you'd lose a little of the drama. Like a seventh game is better to me than if you just did it one game.
Right.
Like to get like the journey to get there.
Oh, it changes everything.
Would be better.
It would be strange.
But I get what you're saying. You know, like I have no problem with a lot of people don't like the extra wild card they put in baseball because of what Fred says. You know, one team could be like 8 or 10 games better than the other team that they have to play, but the other team might have that one dominant pitcher and send you home. And to me, that's tough luck.
Right.
You know, if you're a playoff team, you should have a really good pitcher, at least one. And those are the breaks. And I think that there's nothing like that drama of one and done.
And then, like,
but I wonder if you'd lose it a little bit if you didn't have a series without, you know, getting to a seventh game. To me, that's part of the drama.
You have to change it to the world game.
And like, but can you imagine
NBA final?
Can you imagine if there was a game
Stanley
tonight,
Cup final?
If there was a game tonight, right, Game 7. Just think about like all the storylines of who's ready to pitch and who's going to do this and who's going to do that.
And this is the product, by the way, of a commuter because I also in my head went the other way. Well, what if they did two games for the Super Bowl? They had, you know, Sunday to Sunday, because the Revs are doing a two-game series, I believe, in aggregate goals and different things. Like, what if the Super Bowl, you know, instead of having 2 weeks between, you have a game and a game, and there was, or what, like, it just, the differences between the sports and the way it plays out, because then you'd have, you know, somebody got hurt, and then you'd have these types of build-up differences between the games, and it was just, I don't know, I think it's interesting.
It's interesting. Pat New Hampshire writes in, wow, just got done listening to yesterday's podcast and heard Paul's Red Sox prediction. You are right on, Paul. Game went exactly how you said.
What'd he say?
Too bad you can't predict the Patriots game nearly as well. Maybe RedSox.com has a job opening. You can bring Eric with you.
That was very well done.
Yeah. Paul would never work baseball team, right?
No chance.
Too much.
He hates working Sundays. Never mind 162 days.
I love baseball, but not any more than I love football. And football is just so much better the way it's set up. One game.
Sure.
Did you see some of the Red Sox, I mean the Patriots tweets from the game? Like, Brandon Spikes tweeted out his seats. He was on, like, the roof in right field. Yeah,
I was closer
away
in my house.
Those
than
are
Peabody
good seats.
Oh, those are horrible.
I've sat there on the roof on right field.
I don't know exactly if he was in the Budweiser.
There's no
or
crowd.
He was, like, 8 miles away.
No, you're not.
That's where I was.
There's no crowd because you're not near the game.
No, those are good seats.
Good seats, eh, buddy?
There's nothing in front of you. There's less crowd. You're not bunched in like you are down below.
Like you are near home plate.
You know,
wouldn't want to be near people.
When you can see them.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you can be behind the dugout, okay. But, you know, who can do that?
That's where I sat.
Behind the dugout?
First round. I took Will to the first game against Tampa.
Good for you,
kind
Paul
of a big deal.
I know. You told me.
I know.
He just wanted to brag on the show.
I know.
Yeah, because it's like really something to brag about. You know. Yeah, I went to a game.
I saw.
I'd be bragging to
sort of Kevin last night.
I'd be bragging to. I got in for free. You paid $1,700.
I saw. Drinkwater was running around on the field too. The guy who sits behind home plate, the giant glass guy.
Yeah,
he was running around the field after the game, and like even Gomes came up to him with the army helmet and put it on him and was like spraying him with booze, and it was pretty funny.
Did the, what's his name, the guy with the yellow headsets, did he get excited?
Jeremy Capstan. Good
He's
Fred.
He's such a weirdo. Yeah.
Fred, you can't even get the Patriots' names right. You got that one. That was good.
Oh, I know names.
I know names.
You know who's annoying was that? Is it Steinberg? Charles?
Oh.
He was like all he was all business.
Well, that's his shtick.
Charles.
I mean, is the event.
Yeah,
that's
it was.
That post game, yeah. Probably. That's big for
him. I stayed away from him. I didn't want him to get a hold of me.
How'd you get in here?
Exactly. Who the hell are you?
That would have been great if you'd gotten arrested.
By the bullpen cop.
Yeah. He was taking photos yesterday.
Yeah, so you know where I got in, where the statue is? About an hour and a half before the game, he was out there, and I guess he spends his time out there. Like, that's his duty. He stands out there, and then, like, right before the game starts, like, when the pitchers start warming up in the bullpen, he goes into the bullpens. So he's out there, and he's, like, right in front of the statues, and he's literally just standing there with his arms in the air, and people are just – it's a rotating door of people just taking pictures.
5 minutes.
And all the news cameras are there. And now, these news guys, like Walt, for example, who's a cameraman for Fox, like, these guys weren't just coming over and taking, you know, a shot of three people getting a picture with the camera. They were setting up their sticks to, like, film this guy for an hour. And I was like, really?
But it's his time.
Yeah.
All right. Screw the Sox. Let's talk football.
Let's get to some football.
We gave the Sox Steelers this week.
We gave the Sox their due. Now we can move on.
Yep, they deserve it. Phil in Sussex, England, what has surprised you the most about the Patriots this season, the lack of offensive production or the defensive improvement? Before the season, I was in the Perillo camp.
That's a great question.
And thought the offense would be fine.
Well, you got to go with the offense.
Somebody would catch the ball, and while the production wouldn't match last year's, it would be fine. Obviously, they've been hurt by injuries offensively far more than most thought going into the season. But at this point, I'm not sure we're going to see a dramatic improvement. Whereas on the defensive side of the ball, they've been far better than last year, and that's with pretty much the same starters. And even after losing some key contributors, they've been competitive defensively. So does this improvement surprise you more than the issues on offense? Yeah, the issues
offense
on offense
surprises
is
me.
No, but
it's
a great question because it's asking you what, and I am very surprised with both of those developments. I think it's a great question, but I will go with offense because I guess I bought too much into Brady and how much he didn't matter. I just didn't think it mattered. He would be able to do it, and he hasn't. Can't do it by himself. He can't throw the ball and catch it too, as you like to say.
You know what I was thinking? Like, I was envisioning in my head, too, because yesterday I woke my son up to watch the end. He said he was going to wake his son up to watch the end, and I could just envision Giselle. No, you're not.
Yeah.
No, you're not. Get away from that door.
That's not good for the
and
environment.
And Tom just, like, moping away as the cowardly lion.
Okay. That's not good for the environment.
Right. Nor is my three $18 billion mansions.
Or my moat.
That's one thing that I missed, is not having my dad at the game. Because he's never
couldn't
been
sneak
to
him into.
Nah, he's never been. Well, he was
kind of son, fam, come on.
What kind of son are you?
I was texting with him during the game, and he was like, "Oh, I'm so glad you." And I was sending him pictures literally like every 5 minutes, and that's why my phone ended up dying. So it was like trying to give him some of the experience, but that's one thing
now,
I wish. Him
I will admit that's one of the things that I was most proud of is that I got my father to a Super Bowl, multiple Super Bowls, and.
We went to the
World Series.
That's
no,
nice.
but it's
a special.
I was really happy about that. Like, you know, was able to do something that I know that really meant a lot to him.
LT in Adelaide.
I don't know why you got to make fun of everybody for everything.
I feel like Chris Fowler when they told him that Jimmy Connors Jimmy hadn't Connors spoken again.
Jimmy Aaron Krickstein.
My brother, Adelaide,
by the way, calls me. What an a-hole.
Good day, man of PFW.
Good day.
I wanted to comment on the chemistry of the current setup within PFW in progress. I know that the locker room availability and paper comes first, but it has a really noticeable effect on the show when you become a twosome on Wednesday and Thursday. Yesterday was a great show as Fred continued to needle and poke Paul incessantly to hilarious outcomes, but you guys are much better as a threesome with Eric playing the straight man. Regarding the development of Dante Hightower, I distinctly remember that we had the same concerns and questions regarding Gerard Mayo about 2 years ago. Mayo at that time was simply a tackle machine who couldn't cover, and Andy called him Gerard Never Make a Playo. I know that.
Did you call on that?
Oh yeah.
I know that Hightower isn't the impact player and is probably miscast as a cover linebacker, but I think his development may track similar to Mayo's in the future. We hope.
So we have to come up with. I Dante think he's going to make a play, Hightower.
Yeah.
If
Did you
Hightower...
know his name is Quaylen, I was told? His real first name is Quaylen.
Dante?
Yeah.
Why do you go from Quaylen to Dante?
Well, Dante's his middle name.
Oh.
His name is Quaylen Dante Hightower, I've been told.
Okay.
If he becomes Mayo, how would you feel about him?
If he makes a year five jump?
No.
When he get there?
No, I'm saying, like, let's just say that that's what his ceiling is. He's Mayo.
Great.
Wasn't he supposed to be more than that?
And different.
Yeah.
So...
He's supposed to be this better versatile than guy that can now, do all these different things.
Won't be what I expected.
And that's not what Mayo is. Mayo is just a solid every down linebacker. But, you know, Hightower was billed as this guy who could rush the passer. Yeah. You could
have six sacks,
cover
year,
tight
have,
ends.
You know, two picks. He doesn't feel like he's going to get there. And I'm not in love with the fact, you know, I made the joke that it took Gerard Mayo to be named a Pro Bowler before he started playing like a Pro Bowler. Like, his reputation was better than his production for a while, and then he gets a $50 million extension and gets named All Pro, and he finally kind of ascended to that role. I don't want to have to wait 4 or 5 years for Dante Hightower to be what he should be, right?
Okay.
I mean, I know we joke about the year 4, 5, 6 jump, but, you know, as Chandler Jones said, he expects to make a transition in his second year to prove that he is going to be a certain thing. I don't want to have to wait till the year, and it feels like Hightower is going down that road where, if it happens at all, it's taking a while.
Rick in New
Red
Brunswick.
Red Sox are catching the Yankees, by the way. It's only 27-8 now.
Oh, good. Rick in New Brunswick.
Good pace, though, lately.
Chris Jones has 5 sacks in 5 games. I'm wondering if you guys feel that we have a reason to be excited about him. Yeah. It seems like it has been a little while since we've seen that type of sack action in the middle. If Soap is able to contain the run a bit, is it possible that Jones will continue to get into the backfield on a semi-regular basis, or do you feel he is producing above his skill level? What do we know about his college days? Keep up the great work. You guys are my absolute favorite podcast. Well, thank you.
About the Patriots online with 4 guys.
I tried to get a little excited about it, and he shot me down.
I'm more excited about it now.
Thanks.
With Tommy Kelly and Isaac Sopoaga. Was that right? Sopoaga. Yeah. I'm more excited about it. If he can pick his spots, develop into that interior rusher, that the Fanene, the Jarvis, whatever.
That was the line I used in my story that caught ire.
I still think he's just a guy, personally.
He is a guy. He asked about
his... He shows some good quickness. He's pretty fast.
And we should point
and
out
fine.
The NFL agreed with us.
Not all guys his size are that fast.
No.
The NFL agreed with us, and they... awarded him the sack that originally went totally to Logan Ryan, that Logan Ryan really didn't have much to do with. Jones had him wrapped up around the legs, and they split that one. That's why he has 5. The Umiller is correct. I think in college he was a guy who he made some plays. Now, he played at Bowling Green in the MAC, not necessarily the SEC, but he was a guy that I think he had 12 and a half sacks as a senior,
something
I want
like
to say, something along those lines. So he is a guy that is accustomed to getting after the passer, and I do think that he is quicker. He's not very big. He's barely 300 pounds. So he's not the prototypical interior defensive lineman.
Right.
He is a little bit quicker, smaller and quicker. I don't know.
Maybe he is the new prototypical interior, you know, the way the league is going.
You know, maybe he's 20 pounds bigger than the guys they use in those NASCAR sets.
Right.
You know?
I mean,
who knows?
Maybe there's a sort of a shift in the trend.
I mean, I've seen him also flash in pursuit. He's pretty fast where he just, like, where did he come from?
I do think that he's a guy that might be able to chip in some sacks. Now, if you're going to start playing Kelly and Soap in the base, maybe his snaps go down because he's played every down.
Yeah, but his production might go up. I think he's ill-suited to play every down.
Maybe.
Could be.
Maybe.
Yeah.
You know, maybe he's one of those guys that needs
production per play.
If his pace continues and he gets 10 sacks, he'll be a guy who gets 10 sacks, not a 10 sack guy.
Based on what I've seen so far, I would say that's accurate. Now, I wonder what's going to happen if other teams say, listen, there's 94 guys in our backfield. I'm watching the last three games for the Patriots. This 94 guy making a lot of plays. We got to address him.
Whereas right now,
he's probably, you know, he's 11th on the opponent's worry list when it comes to defense.
Because defensive tackles don't get sacks.
Because he has played extremely well.
I mean,
Geno
Atkins had like 12 and a half last year, and he was like 8 ahead of the next guy, and I think it was Sue. It was like 4-8 or 5-8. So if he gets it, you know, he's got 5. Even if he has a bad second half, he should end up with 7 or 8.
But in this new NFL with, you know, the offense is spreading out, defense is reacting in more of this NASCAR thing where a defensive tackle is really, you know, now shooting a gap more or less because of the way they're lined up there. You know, I don't know.
Well,
maybe in this new NFL, we'll see tackles getting more sacks. I don't know.
Maybe. But, I mean, we haven't yet, really.
No.
It hasn't really happened
yet. And I don't really see why the spreading out would affect the interior guys because they're still dealing with the centers and guards.
Well, and he's still a
defensive
tackle.
They're not getting double-teamed maybe as much.
Well, no. You're not gonna, Chris Jones is not commanding double-teamed.
You're still having four rushers or five
rushers. That's what I'm saying. You still have 5 to block 4 unless there's a blitz.
But I still consider him a defensive tackle. At some point, yes, you might say, you know, Chandler Jones or Andre Carter got 10 sacks as a defensive tackle. Somebody like
that's kind of
I still think he's undersized, but he's still a D-tackle. He's not an end. He's not an end playing tackle. He's a tackle.
No, I agree. Yeah. But he's played very well, and he's played almost, I think, like every snap the last 2 or 3 games.
The Jones and Jones sack exchange.
Which is,
Kruh.
That's very, very impressive.
Kruh and Chuh. Ooh, then we might be onto something here. Kruh and Chuh.
Oh, boy. Have to work that hard at it.
No, that's how they're listed in the stats. Kruh and Chuh.
I know.
Now, neither of them has it on the jersey, right?
They just say
the
Jones.
The Kruh and Chuh.
Does it just say Jones on the jersey?
I believe it just... I know Chandler just says Jones. I can't really envision what Chris says.
I don't know. I'm too far away to see.
You've never watched it on TV, never seen a replay, never seen a highlight, never seen a photo?
No, not that I can recall.
You write the damn captions.
Not that I can recall. Fred tells me what to write.
Mark in Canada. Hello, gentlemen. Great show this week as usual. I'm excited for the game, more so because it will be my first game in person.
Excellent.
Congratulations, Mark.
And the crappy Steelers come into town.
I have one question. With Hightower struggling in coverage, why not put him at defensive end? I think I remember hearing that he could be a potential end during the draft. Not sure if he could fit that in our scheme, though. Anyway, go Pats. My prediction, 27-17 Patriots. Brady, 2 touchdowns. And we finally see a true Gronk spike that isn't taken back.
I'm on board with that whole thing, except for I'm not sure about the Hightower thing. Who do we sit out? I mean, does Ninkovich or Chandler Jones come out?
Right.
You know, are you saying Ninkovich is now a linebacker full time? So you want to use him up there? You know, does Andre Carter lose any of the snaps that he got last week? I don't know. I don't know if that works. Do you?
I'm all for trying it. I've said I want to see him rush a little bit with his hand on the ground. So yes, I don't know the exact rotation or manifestation of it, but I'm all for it.
But yeah,
I don't like him going backwards. So let's see what he can do going forwards.
27-16, 27-17. I could see it.
Yeah,
you give him Pittsburgh too much credit. I go.
You might as well just fax off the same. I mean, we're all pretty much predicting 20-something to teen something.
I seem to think that a lot of these games this year, at least I've been predicting Patriots mid-20s.
Yeah.
In the opponent in the mid-teens.
Right. It is what it is.
It seems like that's the sweet spot this year.
Yep.
You know?
And it's worked. You're 6-2.
Whereas in other years, the Patriots had to score over 24. There's no way they'd win because
this year they have to be under 20. It's the opposite.
I mean, I think that still largely holds true, though.
Yeah.
You got to get over 24 to win.
Yeah. Anthony writes in. He's from Toronto. A lot of Canadian callers, you know, I guess they got more sleep than our local emailers. I'm not sure. I don't know.
Maybe.
I don't know why we're getting more Canada. I'm not. Anyway.
We're big in Canada.
Just wondering if you could pick any wide receiver in the league not named Calvin Johnson, who would it be? My choice would be Jordy Nelson. He is the most underrated player in the NFL. He puts up big numbers, catches everything, doesn't have any history of off-field problems. He's young, and he's in the prime of his career. He produces in the big games like he did in the Super Bowl, catching 9 balls for 140 yards and a touchdown. He is a rare combination of big and fast. And, yes, he's a white receiver, but he's taller than 5'8". Jordy Nelson.
My instinct is that I would not pick Jordy Nelson. But I have been swayed a little bit this year by the fact that I wasn't impressed with Julio Jones. I wasn't impressed with A.J. Green when we played him. Dez Bryant has had a phenomenal year, but obviously has some issues. That's a tough one. And obviously Larry Fitzgerald is a little older, so I'm not sure I'd make him my perfect pick. I don't know who I'd take.
I will say Jordy Nelson is a guy that I missed on. He is he's a pretty good player, and I didn't think he was going to be anywhere near that good.
But who would you take?
I think Larry Fitzgerald is a better player than Jordy Nelson.
But if you were actually picking, like I'm saying,
if
like,
I'm taking age and all that stuff, yeah, like that he's talking about, I think he makes a great argument for Jordy Nelson. He is a terrific receiver. If you like really watch some of the highlights, some of the catches that he makes, he's got incredible control on the sideline. He's a deep threat. He can get vertical. He's a good run after catch guy. He does a lot of different things well.
Why
Jordy
was Calvin
Nelson.
Johnson eliminated? I want him.
Christopher tweeted me here, and he says Chris and Chandler Jones only have Jones on the back of their jerseys.
Okay,
is that legal?
Why not?
Ethan writes in, Paul's textbook Fred Kerr switcheroo. I have to give credit to you, Paul. You beat Fred with his own move. You tossed out the lure, reeled Fred into the fight, shifted to take the original position, thus pushing him into a weak spot. Doubly well done by making the switch while the other hosts were out of the room. Even I had to go back and re-listen to the podcast to make sure I hadn't lost my mind. He gives detailed first mention of Broncos versus Patriots in an email at 46:58 into the podcast. 48:15 into the podcast. Fred, I think what the emailer was saying is that if they get all these guys back, do you see them having a chance to win against the Denver Broncos? Paul, no. Against Denver? No, I don't. Fred, right now, I may not pick the Patriots, but I think they have a chance. Paul, yeah, I don't. Now, things could change. The Broncos could lose 4 more starters. Fred, so you don't think with Vereen back, Tlaib back, Kelly back? No, I don't think they could match up with Denver, no. Now, 57:03 in the podcast, John in South Carolina says, surely, Paul, you do not think the game against Denver is hopeless. Paul says, pretty close. Now that the fight is on, set up the switcheroo. At 1:26:56 in the podcast, Fred says, I think the Patriots, get a shot. They are going to put it together. Paul says, Fred, don't make this out that I don't think they have a shot. I know you like to play that with words and stuff. They may not have to play Denver in the playoffs. Execute the move at 1:59. Fred, assuming the guys that have been not been healthy get healthy and come back, do the Patriots have a chance to beat Denver when they play? Eric, now in the room, says, sure. Andy says, yes. If Aqib Talib plays, they have a chance. Fred says, Paul says, no chance. Andy, I won't be predicting it, but you said chance, there is a difference. Paul, just so you know that the bar has been lowered by about 8 spots since we started this argument. Moving the goalpost by claiming the goalpost move, classic. Now the strong finish at 2:40 into the podcast.
This is very well done,
Andy, right, which is why I'm saying I will be picking them, but the Patriots, have a chance. Fred's original position. Paul says, just so you know, that's all I said. Now it's Paul's position.
I didn't think they had a chance.
Fred says, I might pick the Patriots. Fred is now into homer territory to maintain relative position to Paul. Take a bow, Paul. That was perfect technique on a Fred Kerr switcheroo. The student is now the master.
Oh, man, you're blowing all the secrets. Excellent. That cracked me up.
That's good. And then Christian, not with a TIN, another Christian, he has a long email about being mad at you, Paul.
That's okay.
Because you flip-flop.
I apologize.
How come they never get mad at Fred when he flip-flops?
Because Fred's a homer.
It's a fairly lengthy email, but he says the same thing. At the end, he says, listen, I'm not saying the Pats are going to beat the Broncos, but the fact that you gave them no chance and said it was impossible was ridiculous.
Well, that's a little strong.
Which you were saying before Paul, before Andy and Eric came back. The Broncos aren't the 07 Pats. The one time they played a good team with a solid defense, they scored 33 points and lost convincingly. They have a huge weakness in their defense.
They didn't lose convincingly, and they scored 33 points. That's a lot.
They have a huge weakness in their defense and have been putting up 0-7 numbers on the league's worst teams. They've played one good team all year and lost, and you give them more credit than the Patriots, who played two good teams and split. And rant, have a good lunch, guys. So, that's Christian.
All right, if you're going to back me into a corner with the semantics of the whole thing and say a shot, okay, I have to admit that there's no such thing as no shot in the NFL. If the Broncos turn it over a million times, they can lose. You can lose to anybody.
A million times they have to turn it over now for them to have a shot.
Well, that's what happened in the Colts game.
A million times.
They turned it over four times to none. They were minus four. If they're minus four in that game, they can lose. But if you're asking me, do I think they match up? I don't think they do.
Yeah, I
that's all I said.
At this point in time, I agree, but this is hypothetical and is assuming that everything fits into place with the Patriots in terms of guys coming back. You know, at their full strength, you know, can they beat the Broncos? And the answer is yes.
Yeah, see, I don't think they can. That's okay. unless something like that happens.
Okay.
Where, you know, it's just a messy, messy game and they...
Messy, messy, messy.
Now, if that happens, the Patriots will have
a magician from Frosty the Snowman.
If that happens, much like the Colts, the Patriots will have had a lot to do with that, and I'll be surprised.
Josh from Stratford, Connecticut, loves the show, what we do, and has a few questions. He says, "Do we know if Tlaib is going to play this week? We don't know, but my guess is he won't."
My guess would be the same. Although the indication was that he looked more prepared. He didn't have thigh pads in last week. He has thigh pads in this week. Another advancement in the process.
Right. So we don't know. But, you know, I'm guessing he doesn't. But I've been known to be wrong at times.
Often.
Also, they want to know, how do we feel about the Patriots not picking up a wide receiver at the trade deadline?
I'm fine with it. I'm assuming the price was relatively steep since nobody traded for a receiver at the deadline. And... you know, I thought the value deal would be for a D tackle. They did that. And, you know, we're getting healthy. You got Amendola, you got Gronk. If you get Vereen back, you got some weapons.
I think the part that Andy said about the price based on what everybody else did, if there were other wide receivers that moved to other teams, I think I would be upset about it.
Right.
You know, if Gordon got traded and Nix got traded, and I would say, you know, what were we doing? Why didn't we make a move? But the fact that none of them made a move
just tells
me
you
that probably the price was too high.
Right.
And, you know, I do look at it and say, Collie is barely playing, and boys can't even get on the field. So are they as hard-pressed for wide receivers as we might think they are?
Well, and I would add last week, Tompkins to that.
Yeah.
He barely played.
Yeah. One more email,
then
we'll take a break.
For production.
And when we come back from the break, we'll hit the phones. Mike from Oregon, this radio show is something special. I grew up with my dad watching Mike and the Mad Dog, and I thought that was the best thing ever. This show beats Mike and the Mad Dog's ass.
Wow.
I've been a Patriots fan since I was five, and for some stupid reason, I never stumbled onto your show until a few years ago. And as corny as it sounds, I'm never lonely when I listen to you guys. Well, that's nice.
Sounds something else, too.
So when the college classes intensify and I'm forced to be in my dorm room alone all day, I'm never actually alone, so thank you very much, and keep up the great work. People really do appreciate it. Much love. Go Patriots. Well, thanks, Mike from Oregon.
Add that to the ones we send to the front office.
Right. Do we send any to the front office?
No, we always say it. Never do.
Yeah. All right, we're going to take a break. Food's here. We'll be right back. More calls and emails, and then picks at the end of the show.
The word off-season doesn't exist in the NFL. Maybe for hot dog vendors and groundskeepers, but not for teams or players or fans. When the goal every year is winning it all, the road begins to be paved in February. Because there are holes that need to be filled, weights that need to be lifted, and next levels that need to be reached. Keep up with your favorite team with coverage of NFL Network 24/7 on NFL Mobile. Always having your passions with you? That's powerful. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile from Verizon. Airtime and messaging rates may apply. Coverage not available everywhere. Available on select smartphones. Don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets. With free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest prices on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets. With free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden or game day pickup at Patriot Place, Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. 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 1-800.
And now, great moments in PFW in Progress history.
If anyone has used the contraption called the Nut Wizard, I need to know that.
Excuse me?
Yeah, it's called the Nut Wizard. I think you can find it at nutwizard.com. It's not what you think. It's for picking up, like, acorns in your yard. I have a ton of acorns, so I'm looking for the best way to pick up acorns in my yard without breaking my back, you know? So I saw this thing. It's like a cage with spokes, and you roll it, and supposedly it just picks up the acorns. But I want to, before I, it's like $49.
It's so ridiculous.
I don't want to buy it, you know, if it only works half the time or whatever. Or if someone has a better way to pick up acorns.
That's another great moment from PFW in Progress.
All right, back here at PFW in Progress. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Web radio at patriots.com is the email address. If you want to call toll-free, it's 855-PATS-500. And if you go to patriots.com, there's a whole list of international numbers that you can call. And if you're in one of those countries, you can call toll-free. So,
what do you want?
Turkey.
We don't have a turkey.
Oh. Hungary.
Well, we don't have a Hungary.
Oh. So how about Spain?
Mi amigo Iggy.
9008-34897. If you're a Spaniard, give us a call.
All right. Let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline. Eldridge is in North Carolina. Hey, Eldridge.
Hey, folks. How you doing?
Good.
Bet you he has a problem with the trade deadline.
A little bit, but not really.
Oh, you wanted a receiver.
Yeah, I wanted Sanders. Why not? He's on a 2-16. Give up a 3. You know. Make a move some kind of way, but I guess that was in the cards. But defensive tackle, okay, I'm good with that too. But I wish they made one towards a linebacker or a defensive back. You know, even though the defense is playing a little bit better, but I don't like the call. I wish Tlaib would be playing this weekend. Evidently, he might not be. So just worried about this game. And I'll put 27-20
Patriots?
Yes.
Okay.
That's in the ballpark.
Sure.
But I was listening to y'all a minute ago. I asked for the call. It's the Broncos. We got a chance, but I don't think we'll win. So we don't match up.
Yeah, I'm exaggerating when I say they don't have a chance. So the emailer,
exaggerating or backtracking?
The emailers are correct. I was just about to say.
Hey, Trot Nixon.
As you like to interrupt everybody, the emailers are correct. I have to backtrack and say more along the lines of the way Fred put it. I don't know if they match up with them right now. But to say they don't have a chance is foolish. They have a chance.
No, I don't think they match. See, the coach surprised me, though. But then again, Spagano knows Peyton. And then, for some reason, Darius Butler played like somebody I ain't never seen him play like. Because he put the clamp down on Welker.
Well, literally. They allowed him to hold the whole game.
Down. Yeah,
he had his hands all over him, wrapped around his waist, grabbing jersey.
Well, you know the Patriots are going to do the same thing.
Well, they should. If you're going to be allowed to do it, then
no,
do
I'm
it.
Just saying.
It's like
that's
the league
the point
is allowing.
Favorite.
Yeah,
the
Paul rest, and I have been talking about this for weeks. Every time you look up, they're letting you play. It's like 10 years ago when Colts Patriots started, and you could just bang people and hold
which
them.
Which is one of the reasons why I thought the calls on Miami that you made fun of the other day, you know, like the pass interference call and the hold on I forget who the hold was on. But there was two calls that were they haven't been called all year.
But that wasn't it wasn't even a bad call. It was not a possible call.
No.
There was no hold. Like you could have called illegal contact. To hold, you actually have to hold somebody. There has to be a grasp, a keeping him from doing something.
Yeah. All right, thanks Eldridge.
We should get into this game a little bit. We haven't talked about the game at all.
Well, let's go to Ted in Pittsburgh. Maybe he wants to talk about the game. Hey Ted.
Hey guys, love the show.
Thank you.
What's up? Thanks, Ted.
Hey, I own a bar in Pittsburgh. Unfortunately, they're playing the Steelers this weekend. But I want to talk about how depressing Pittsburgh is after the Steelers lose. Bar normally does about $3,000 on a Monday. When they lose, I do about $200.
Really?
Wow. No one comes out. People call out of work. I have servers and bartenders don't come in. It's a real mental problem.
Really?
Yeah, really.
Like that's ridiculous. Like that it's that much in their life. A regular season game. You're not talking about like anything more than that. An AFC title game.
Well, I would say
And the worst thing, lied of my freshman year college roommate was a huge Steelers fan, and it was 2004 when we beat them. I don't know, 42-17 in the title game, and he cried for about 2 hours in our dorm room.
What a loser.
I just enjoy 41-27.
Yeah, well, I think you're going to be, you should be prepared for your business to not be all that great on Monday.
Well, that'll happen. I mean, the only time I was ever depressed when the Patriots lost was that second Giants Super Bowl. I just was kind of talking. I was like, I can't believe they did it to us again.
Now, do you own the bar, Ted? Is it your bar?
Yeah, I own it with my chef partner. But yeah, I own that, and then I also
what do you mean by
own
partner?
A fracking company.
So do you...
a fracking company? Like oil?
We sell the pipe for the fracking. So as my wife likes to joke, I lay pipe for a living.
In your bar, do you have like Patriots fans that come? Patriots bar, or is it mostly Steeler fans?
It's all Steeler customized out. I mean,
okay,
yellow and black everywhere. Unfortunately, I mean, they razz me because I'm a Boston fan, but I mean, we crushed the Penguins last year. A bunch of my patrons said they weren't coming back in after because they knew I was a Boston fan, but. I mean, it happens, but I'll hang up, guys. I'll let you guys talk, but I love the show. I listen to you every day. Keep up the good work.
All right, thanks, Ted.
That's a fascinating combination. Yeah. I own a bar, and I'm into fracking. Like, how does that happen?
Yeah, you diversify.
I believe Jarvis Green is into some fracking.
Is he?
Or he was building the temporary housing for some fracking in, like, the Dakotas. I believe he's involved with the fracking somehow.
The fracking?
I don't even really know what fracking is.
You just keep saying it like you know what it is.
I don't know what the freak fracking is. Fred, can you explain it?
Starting in January,
I think it's a technique for getting gas, natural gas, out of the earth.
Okay, I stand corrected. I know what fracking is. He said nothing. What does it mean? Because there's some environmental concerns. People complain about their water. And I know there's a very fascinating documentary I watched, but I got in late before they must have already told me what fracking was because I watched the whole rest of it.
Well, I guess in the process of fracking, you release other stuff into the environment.
I believe it's some sort of pressurization.
Yeah,
to get it out.
If you do it wrong, it can really be.
Well, there's a debate as to what. Exactly, the ramifications are how much of it is sort of being manipulated by the liberal media.
In that same documentary, I don't know if you saw it, but you have the people in the fracking areas. They open up their water tap and they light it with fire.
Yeah, and then they found out that was all like fraudulent, and they're making it up. And
yeah,
so those documentaries you can never trust.
Right.
They're always swayed one way or the other. No one really makes a documentary anymore. They start out with an agenda, and then they go from there. No objectivity, like PF. Can we talk about the game now?
Sure.
I just think it's an interesting matchup on a lot of levels. First of all, like, neither team protects the quarterback. They both have these franchise quarterbacks. They've both been sacked 16 times in the last four games. They're both in the 20s. That's not good. I mean, you certainly don't want $100 million quarterbacks getting banged around, although Roethlisberger's, I guess, a little more built for it. You heard Bill yesterday joke that the best way to replicate him is have Nate Solder be the scout team quarterback. But, you know, you think of the Steelers as they're good against the run and they get after the passer. Except they only have 10 sacks, five of them are from Lamar Woodley, and they're not good against the run.
They've struggled against
the run. They're like 30th against the run. It's like, it's very weird. They don't force any turnovers. They have five forced turnovers, takeaways all year. They're at the bottom of the league in turnovers. We're at the top of the league in turnovers. We don't run the ball like people want, but we're going up against a Pittsburgh team who we normally don't run against because I believe this is the team where Bill actually says, you're not going to run your head into a brick wall. But there's no brick wall, so maybe we should run it this week.
Well, I think when you look at the Steelers, you got to forget about history.
Right.
So I think, you see the Steelers on the schedule, and you think, the Steelers, but they're not that team anymore, at least this year.
They have been very simple.
Yeah.
In the two games, they didn't turn it over, they won. In the, five games, they turned it over a ton, they've lost.
Right. And I would stay with that, and we keep talking about it every week. If the Steelers protect the football, they'll have a chance to win.
But it's not just them.
But they haven't been able to do it.
And the Patriots force a turnover 35 straight games. That's not just the opponent.
Absolutely.
That's you getting the job done.
And they haven't been able to do it against anybody, and now they're doing it against a team that has a record streak of forcing turnovers.
And, Polamalu, I don't think he's quite the player he used to be. He's even thinking of cutting his hair, so. What's that?
Nothing.
I don't understand what resonated. I mean, before or after you burp into the mic.
Did you hear that?
Yeah.
Sorry. But Levy and Bell, they don't run the ball well, but they've run it a little better with Bell. He kind of carried them to the victory over Baltimore where he had 100 yards or 98 yards or something. I just think
they're not a terrible team. Even though they're 2-6, they're not a terrible team.
They have a piss-poor offensive line.
Brown's pretty good.
He's having a great year.
Antonio Brown?
Yeah. Very good.
I like Sanders.
We know.
You know.
The one move you can criticize them for is not getting Sanders.
If I were Emmanuel Sanders, I'd be looking into getting some authorities on the case this week for you, because no opponent should be wanting him as much as you do.
Heath Miller.
Is he health productive?
He's very good. Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know if he was hurt or not.
He was hurt to start the season. He missed the first couple of games.
Yeah, but okay. He's healthy
but he's
now.
He's good now.
And Hightower will be chasing him.
Yeah.
And they yanked their rookie first-round pick, Jarvis Jones, from the starting lineup. Jason Worlds is going to start in his place.
He's going to put Brady in a Worlds of hurt.
So, I think a lot of people thought that Jarvis Jones was going to be one of those real candidates for Defensive Rookie of the Year. I think I might have even picked him. So
if you didn't, then I might have.
Clearly, he's not living up to the hype
and he doesn't have the spine for the game.
Oh, that's just
Fred doesn't even get it. He's like, what are they talking about, spine?
Let's go to Brad in Australia on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Hey, Brad.
Good night, fellas. How you doing?
Good. Are you using the toll-free number?
Yes, I am. That's Mr. Kraft playing for that, right?
Yes, that's right.
Now, are you on the East Coast?
Oh. I'm actually Central Southern. So
you're in walkabout. Is that walkabout territory?
Yeah, pretty well, yeah. Adelaide.
I have a Richmond Tigers jacket from the Australian.
Do you really?
I do.
No, they're rubbish.
Oh, are they? Okay.
Rubbish.
They made the playoffs this year for the first time in many years.
Oh, geez, that's I'm impressed by your knowledge. That's pretty good. They did.
Well, who do you root for?
Oh, I go for St. Kilda, but they're terrible, so don't worry about that.
So what do you got for us?
Hey, I'm excited about your accent competition with Eric. Is he around?
He's not here right now. He'll be here a little bit later.
He'll be by later.
All right, good. I've got a few tips for you, Freddie, right? Here we go, right?
All right. Yeah.
Tips.
When you're talking Aussie, you don't say wide receiver, you say wide receiver. Right?
Okay.
So it's not an ER, it's an A, right?
Yeah.
That's kind of New England.
Yeah.
Boston.
And anything with an ER on the end, make it an A. Make it an A, right?
An
you're
I?
Lazy yeah. when you
Now, is that an A or an I?
make it an I.
Good eye, mate.
Yeah.
Make it an I.
Yeah, that's right. Just speak lazy, you know, just add in a few little things, take out a few words, whatever, you know.
Yeah.
You know, just make sure that it doesn't make sense.
Okay. All right.
Like you.
Right. And I've got another one.
Yeah.
Take out the G when it's ING. How you going? No. How you going? Just take out the G. No.
Oh, just take it out. Okay. Yeah.
Gone.
Yeah. How you going?
Just completely take it out. Right?
Yeah. Okay.
So there's a few tips for you on speaking Australian. I'll look forward to your competition later on in the year.
Yeah, now, that's getting a lot of momentum.
It's going to be good. Yeah. I am very excited about it.
Yeah.
Do you drink Foster's?
No.
I'm sorry, Foster's. Foster's.
I drink VB.
Yeah, see, VB, I knew it. Victoria Black, right? What is
VB.
It?
VB.
Whatever it's called.
Yeah, Victoria Bitter.
Yeah.
Oh, Bitter. Victoria Bitter.
Okay.
Yeah, nice try.
Nice try.
Hey, I'm curious. I'm coming down for the next year for the start of the season. Is it going to be hard for me to get a ticket to the first game or not really?
No, you know Fred.
I know Fred.
Yeah, we'll probably work something out.
Fred can help you out.
Yeah,
that's,
stay in touch.
As luck would have it, two just came in. Yeah, he can hook you up.
Oh, good.
Yeah, Fred's tight with the Aussies.
Let's keep that down.
Anyway. Yeah, once the schedule comes out.
So there's only going to be two of us, so I figure I'll come down there. I'll buy you guys lunch, and then you guys can hook me up with some tickets to the game.
Well, yep,
now,
works.
Now we're talking.
Yeah, works.
Now it's a virtual
works. You're looking good. Now, who are you bringing? A friend? A girl? What do you got? A penguin?
Yeah, my girlfriend, yeah.
Okay. Is she hot?
I'm sure he thinks
so. Yeah, she's got a nice pair of breasts.
Nice.
Andy.
And she's coming, right?
Oh, yeah,
she'll be coming.
Nice. Now, like, what is an Aussie, you know, they have different cliches about women around the world. What's an Aussie woman like?
Oh, for God's sake.
Oh, geez. Lazy?
Lazy? Everyone's yeah. lazy.
Okay.
Yeah, all right. Boy, we're all lazy. We're all lazy.
Really?
Yep.
Okay.
Nah, they're, the females, they're called Shazzers. I don't know, it's a stereotypical name for a lazy Shazzer, you know, how you going, sort of laid-back bird. So.
Shazzy.
A laid-back bird.
Okay. Well, I look forward to meeting her and her breasts.
Yeah, all right. I'll have some photos for the tailgate as well.
Oh, nice. Send them in.
Excellent, Brad.
Extra credit for extra cleavage.
Right. Okay, Brad.
No worries.
Thanks for calling.
Keep those tips to yourself, Freddie.
Yeah, don't share your tips with Eric.
No,
dropping the G's. No.
I'm gonna beat him.
I think you will, yeah. And it's gonna crush him.
Yeah.
You know the pseudo intellect that he thinks he is.
I'll look forward to it. Thanks, Billy.
Okay, Brad.
Thanks, Brad.
I just learned. He says
Brad Wing. You think Australia?
I have no idea.
The punter.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about. They say Aussie. It's like a Z, like Ozzy Osbourne
Aussie?
Down there.
Yeah.
That's what it sounded like he said. I only got like every other word he said. So.
Yeah, we'll have to figure out the criteria for this contest, you know. But
well, I would like to have the authentic people declare the winner. Like,
sure.
If you guys do Australian,
that's how you need to do it. And
you
we
have,
just solicit the emails.
Yeah.
You tell us who won.
And even if we only have one or two people, you know,
well,
all rulings are final.
We don't have to do it all in one day. Like, one day could be Irish.
But well, no, and, we won't tell you though. We'll know,
right.
And we'll set up some judges.
Yeah, but what we need to know is what's on the list. We don't necessarily need to know what day each one is. But I mean,
they don't give the spelling contestants the
list
of words.
If you say
that's
like,
cheating.
No. But if you say these are the possible ones, and whatever it is, a dozen.
All right, I'm going to hand you a globe.
Yeah, because if you Romanian, neither of us have really thought about
Zoltan Mesko.
You know what good will it be? At least give us a chance
okay,
to know
right.
What might be asked,
okay.
So we can get like some ideas.
So we'll pick like 10 or 12.
But
yeah.
It's going to be the ones that we hear, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Easy ones. We'll do Canadians.
We'll
give you like
say,
a local.
We'll do Irish. We'll do Australian. We'll do
say okay. Any of these possible could be you know part of the contest.
Maybe you can do Swedish for for your girl.
Yeah.
Charlotta.
She likes it when I call her Charlotta.
Right.
Russian. So this is going to be good. Or awful.
I must
or an absolute debacle.
Fred, I saw some highlights they were showing of the celebration, and John Farrell had the World Series trophy over his head, and all I could think of was Costanza
right.
tying it to the back of his car.
Well, yeah. He was a little loose with it. You know,
well, that's what
Henry
he was
it,
holding
and then
it like
he just
this.
Had it by like three of the,
yeah.
the poles.
Well, there's
the
an episode of Seinfeld where he's trying to get fired. He worked for the Yankees, Costanza.
Yeah, I know that
he
much.
Was trying to get fired, and he tied it to the back of his car, and he's driving around the park. He still couldn't get fired.
Do you get bills or anything? Do you see the toll-free number? Because Australia is going to be your biggest, just so you know.
Yeah, we've had a lot of calls
from
Australia.
Australian calls.
That's great.
I just didn't know if you got numbers on it, any statistics.
I haven't had enough yet, but I'll get them eventually.
Because that's the one that's going to cost the most or whatever. That's the most frequently used.
Chris from New Brunswick. Hey, Fred, Paul, and Big Head. Just to say that I enjoy listening to the show. Always good for a laugh to see Fred being such a homer in so many ways, where every move is going to be all right. No need to worry if Brady's hand is twice the size. Still no need to fear. That's the assurance that keeps us fans coming back. Especially if I Hate the Pats Eric Scalavino chimes in that we are going to have a losing season. Please keep No Hope Scalavino off the air. It is better if he isn't there anyway. Now on to the game. Is there an issue with Brady and Tompkins? Just seems that Tompkins is not very active. Anyway, have to head off to work now. Was finally able to listen live for once. Just a shout out to all the New Brunswick listeners. Patriots love going strong up north. Boston strong. Is there a problem with Tompkins?
No.
Not
I don't
I'm
believe
aware
so.
Of.
He did not catch a pass last week. Had a single target. By far his least impact of the season. He had at least a catch in every other game. But I just think Amendola's back. Edelman's still out there. Gronk's back. So you're seeing less multiple receiver sets because of Gronk's. And
I think Dobson is ahead of him.
Oh, yeah, that's clear. I mean, he played the entire game practically. But I don't think there's anything wrong with him, and yeah. I'm a little surprised by it. This is the first time, I think, in a while that Dobson has passed up Tompkins. I think Tompkins
yeah,
for
because with the start
the
of the season,
of
and I know that Dobson missed the first game, but there were games that they were two of the only receivers out there, and Dobson was clearly second to Tompkins.
But
Tompkins
I would even,
was getting
like,
the attention
back to the summer. You know, I thought it was Tompkins was the most consistent with Amendola with whatever.
Yep, I agree.
And now Dobson appears. Now we
I think Dobson is the better player. I mean, personally, I think he's more skilled as a receiver. I think he does some different things. I think Tompkins has been, not to sound like Wes Welker, but a nice story. You know, an undrafted free agent who's certainly making the most of his second chance here after a tumultuous college career.
You have a wide spectrum of nice stories.
Well, I think that he's an undrafted rookie.
Wes Welker and his 7,000 catches.
No, Welker said that.
Oh,
you don't remember
I thought
Wes
you were
Welker?
Calling him a nice
you
little
story.
You don't
remember, like,
it's
yeah,
a no,
nice
no,
little player,
yeah.
nice little story.
Yeah, no,
I was kind of
okay.
playing off
I
of that.
I thought it was your loose change thing.
No. I think that Tompkins is a nice story, and I think there's a reason Dobson was drafted in the second round, and Tompkins wasn't drafted at all, and it's not just because Tompkins bounced around from different schools because of his problems in high school.
Thompson never dropped a pass in college.
All right. Easy.
Paul writes in from UK. Just wanted
By the way,
to know.
I kid you not. I just walked out there and Rook's on the phone doing work, and he's talking about natural gas drilling.
Is there any more food out there?
If you
can
describe
that sandwich didn't do it for me. I don't know.
You could have had the half of Fred's that I ate. Nothing's better than Fred's diet.
What, are you going to throw it up?
No, I said you could have had.
Oh. We need some cookies.
Paul,
well, that's what the problem with you when you let Fred pick the place.
But he cries if you don't go to Omega, because Omega is substantially quicker.
On the way,
I have to give him that.
Paul writes, and just wanted to know whether Andy was aware that there is a medical term for his condition, macrocephaly, an unusually large head. Occurs if the head in question is to standard deviations above the mean for weight and height. There are many genetic conditions associated with this illness, commonly affecting regular neurological activity. This might go some way to explain why he has the perverted mind of a 12-year-old.
Yes.
While if I were a more storied contributor to this show, I would at this point suggest that my own macrocephaly inhibits my ability to enter Andy's mum. However, my own manifest
I don't care for this.
However, my own manifest as an admiration for a team whose activities have given me such ups and downs that I could be considered bipolar. That and the ability to fit into one size fits all hats.
Screw you.
Keep up the good work and Roger the Jets.
What does Roger mean?
Well, you know, F.
Roger means F?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that. That's my middle name.
Why is that?
That's what they say. Oh, right. Yeah. It's a slang for...
So I'm Andy Effin Hart.
It's a slang for screw him, I think.
I never heard... I'm learning a lot today.
Roger?
What's the other one? The millennium? What?
Macrocephaly.
No, what's the...
Fracking.
Millennium. Millennials.
Millennials.
Yeah.
Never heard that word.
Anyone born after 1980?
I don't think I actually have a medically...
Yeah, I don't think you have a condition.
No, you're not that big. You're just bigger than... anyone in Foxborough.
Albert Hainsworth criticized Mike Shanahan.
Yeah. Idiot.
I'm sure that kept Shanahan up at night.
Yeah. Talk about no fight, no dog in that fight.
Joe boobie. In Vermont, I discovered PFW in Progress since my freshman year of college and have listened to it almost every week since. I can unequivocally say that this show is not only the best Patriots commentary, but the best football commentary I've ever heard.
I agree.
Did somebody solicit
Tough
these?
Day. I think it's the Red Sox have sprinkled some goodwill around
Patriots The show
Nation.
Is at its best when everyone is there. The way you play off each other is hysterical, especially when it's objective Paul versus Homer Fred. I graduated this past year and have an interview next week for a job in Kansas City.
Nice.
If when I get hired, I want one of my first paychecks to go towards buying all of you lunch.
All for it.
It's the least I can do for all the entertainment and analysis you've provided over the years. Hey, I'll even throw in some Diet Pepsi.
Good luck on your
favorite
interview.
Guy ever.
Thanks, Joe from Vermont.
And Joe.
Joe's going to become a barbecue expert if he's moving to Kansas City.
Let's see. Michelle, she loves it when I call her Shalata. Says, what's the deal with our O-line? Last year we had five different centers, if I'm remembering things correctly. This year... we can get our
Fred
Andy is just like lighting it up over there.
He is.
It's absolutely ridiculous.
He really is.
Is the spray here? Because yesterday you really did stink it up.
Yesterday?
Yeah, yesterday.
Because I think these stink right now.
I'm Ron Burgundy.
Oh, thank you.
Kevin comes in with spray.
My God. We're using the Zep spray. This is that industrial stuff. Meat or mist, green apple.
I liked the when you had orange creamsicle better.
I like the apple's not bad.
Green apple's not bad. Yeah, the creamsicle's a little sickening.
Oh, I liked it.
Sickening?
More sickening than, you know.
Ass.
Or de Andy. Yeah.
Anyway, Michelle says, last year we had five different centers, if I'm remembering correctly. This year, can we get one of our centers to snap the ball correctly? Ooh. Often it looks low, and Logan is having his worst season ever. Mm. And why is Cannon playing over Svitek? I'm assuming this is all a chain reaction, Brady holding onto the ball too long since our wide receivers can't get open or running the wrong routes, etc. So whomever stole Scar's magic wand, please give it back now. And D&C are morons, check. Fred calls him Soap and Bubbles. I call him SpongeBob. That's the new
SpongeBob.
Guy.
Okay.
Yeah, Eric's here.
I think the receiver situation probably does have more than a little to do with the sacks. You know, the fact that he hasn't been able to get the ball out probably when he wants to. It was one that Andy and I looked at each other and said, that's one of the ones that we were talking about on Sunday. It was a third and two, I think. He took a quick, like a three-step drop, got on the back foot. The ball didn't come out, and Jarrett Godrick just killed him. You know, like, that's a ball that probably would have been thrown before the guy got there last year.
Had the guy been open.
Yeah. And or been for whatever reason, spot. It might have been Brady's fault. I'm not absolving Brady. I'm just saying, for whatever reason, the ball didn't come out.
Eric's here. Hey, Eric.
What's up?
What's going on?
Kind of a lackluster locker room today.
Why is that?
Man, not a lot of players.
Because we're in New England.
A lot of people are up late, maybe?
Yeah,
they all went to the game.
Maybe. I don't know. No, I just that happens every so often. Players just aren't around. So or players just, that we need to, you know, that we'd like to talk to aren't around, I should say.
So you adapted and talked to other guys?
Well, that's kind of hard.
Okay, we'll go with that.
But, yeah.
No. So what happened in there?
What'd you see?
Not a
what
lot.
What caught your eye?
Really, not a whole lot. There were hardly any players in for the 45 minutes that we were in there. It was really was one of those days where
Ixnay so there was a lot of annihilation day.
A lot of bitching and moaning going on.
No.
Prego Chalice must have been in rare form.
Really? I mean, I wasn't around where she was. But
really?
Oh, yeah.
How can you? Never mind.
No. I think the big story to me, though, is that 2 days in a row, we have 62 guys practicing.
Love it. I don't know what it means.
The 53, the 8 on the P squad, and Shane Vereen.
Yeah, we figured that.
Now, you want to list them all? Go ahead. Go. Alphabetical order, go.
I'll settle just
numerical.
I'll settle just for the 8 on the practice squad.
Jagarrett Davis, Justin Green.
Yeah, but I think we're making a little bit of a leap. I mean, do we not expect to see Kelly, Tlaib, some of these guys, just because they're practicing, I don't expect to see him this week.
Oh, I mean, Tlaib's the perfect example. He's been practicing since before the Jets game and hasn't played since the Saints game.
Yeah, just because they're on the practice field, I'm not sure.
No, but it's a
good sign for the process.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
That, to me, is the story. I mean, how often in a season do you get to say perfect attendance at all on any day, and 2 days in a row, that's good news.
Yeah. And Tom Brady's hand is fine, which is another good news. He's not on the injury report with a hand issue.
What do you make of that?
Baloney.
Bologna. That is bologna.
Now, the week before, did he have a hand?
No, he never had a hand injury,
against
Fred,
the Jets.
Ever.
And has he ever been on the practice?
Never been on the report with a hand injury.
Okay.
Well, this year. I think long time ago he had a
finger. I really only care about this year for this conversation. I mean, you know, really.
So it goes down.
He's going to get to the pushing on the field goal in Aaron Hernandez later on in the show.
Oh. I don't even know what that
is. Wow.
But so
Andy knows what it means.
He was strip sacked against the Jets, as we all remember.
Right.
And CBS showed that play over and over in slow motion, and that appeared to be when the injury happened.
Right. And he was flexing it on the
And after edge. That, he kept doing that flexing with the hand. And
then, like, pointing. Remember one with McDaniels? It was like he was pointing, this one's broken right here. Like, he was specifically pointing to something.
Yeah. And obviously, there was a picture floating around of him with tape around two of his fingers. But then on Sunday of the Dolphins game, his whole backhand was swollen.
It looked like it was, yeah.
Oh, I mean.
I don't know how you people know what his hand looks like.
Maybe they shot it up with something and that swelled it. Who knows?
And then he had the thing he was wearing on the sideline.
Right.
Maybe to keep swelling in somewhat under control.
The black glove.
And then
thing.
He kept doing the hand warmer.
So
I
think that maybe they got caught in it where if they were going to put him on the injury report with the hand, they should have done it after the Jets game. The fact that they didn't, so now they can't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think
I don't know.
At this point, there are so many telltale signs that something is wrong that he needs to be listed.
Yeah, but if it's not affecting anything,
right.
There's nothing wrong.
You don't have to.
You know what I smell? Just so you know, I'm prepared next week for somewhere in the range to about 47 guys to be on the injury report.
Okay, but
everybody who has a sniffle, a hangnail, a hurt.
And you might be right, but here's the thing. If a guy practices fully, as Brady did, why bother putting the injury that he has on there?
I don't know.
The injury, the shoulder thing that he supposedly has is being listed, and he practiced fully with it.
Did he? I thought he was limited. Oh, no, he was full participation.
Yesterday.
I also don't understand, like, Gronk now has three injuries. He added a hamstring.
Right.
Like, for a team that doesn't list injuries, you already had him on there with two.
Yeah.
So why do you need to add the hamstring? Like, why are you being forthcoming with that and maybe not quite so forthcoming
well,
with
you think I, that, there is you think a reason a, to do that.
Do you
that.
Think that's a sign that maybe it's a significant hamstring injury?
Well, but also this that could be a beard or a smoke screen. Where if he's
for what?
For
what?
For hiding, if let's just say the forearm is all of a sudden hurting him again, or the back, and you don't want people to think that's what the problem is. You add an injury, so now people don't know if he doesn't play the next game. You know, it's not that same injury.
Not a terrible philosophy.
Okay,
I don't understand what you gain from that, though.
You the circus that would be
right.
The back or the forearm is already hurt again.
Yeah, you.
But I don't think you eliminate any circus if Gronk doesn't play next week.
But you change the circus. You may not eliminate.
Yeah, but more people would be willing to say, "Oh, yeah, he developed a hamstring."
Right,
because a lot of the headlines.
No, I think that would happen, but I don't see what you gain from that. If he's not playing, people are going to be like,
"Oh, you don't
well,
get
clearly,
this whole thing." Oh, yeah. Oh my
he
god!
Pulled a he pulled a hamstring because he's been inactive all this time.
Yeah,
supposedly he was practicing.
No, but I think
your circus is in full flight.
No, but
I
don't.
I think if it's forearm, it's you know they can't fix his forearm. We're going on a full year now.
Right.
They can't fix his freaking forearm.
And you have
his career's done.
And
whereas if he just pulls a hammy, you know that happens when guys miss a lot of time. Blah blah blah.
Yeah, I mean it was to the point where the headlines yesterday. I think even I think Schefter tweeted. Gronkowski limited in practice because of a hamstring injury. Well, technically, it's because of a hamstring, a back, and a left forearm.
Right.
But they don't mention the other two.
Because he's been limited with the
with
back
all
and
those
the forearm
other two.
The whole time.
Right. But the story headlines make it sound like, oh, he only has this one
right.
problem.
So it could be a smokescreen.
Schefter's a friend of the family.
You know?
But it wasn't just him. I'm just saying I was using him as an example. But all the headlines yesterday were Gronk limited with a hamstring. Well, yes, but also... Two other things that have
been
listed.
Well, it's like Amendola was limited with a groin, a concussion and a groin, and now he's back to a groin.
Yeah.
Or two.
Or, yeah.
Or none.
But,
yeah,
but
or
so
none.
The whole Brady thing is,
one.
The whole Brady thing
and
is.
You know if that was a different injury, it would still be there. But because it was
right,
a concussion,
concussion
they
you
took
get
it
the
off.
Hell out of there.
But
oh,
it's,
yeah.
It's just so, it's so mind-boggling that a guy who never before would go to the sideline and put a black glove on, never before would run to the sideline by putting only one hand in the hand warmer, is insistent that there's nothing wrong with that hand.
Well,
I mean, it's just ludicrous.
He has to.
Yeah.
Well, I know he's being told to, but I mean, it's ludicrous.
And
Florio's
headline was, you know, Patriots continue to not list Brady with hand injuries.
And it's not like by not saying anything
something
about
like
it, it's not like by not saying anything about it, other teams will not target that hand. They're going to target it anyway. You know?
Right, even
do
if
they
it
really
wasn't hurt.
Like, yeah. I mean, do you think a guy's going to come around the corner and pull out a club and just start bashing
I
his
heard.
Hand?
I'm not going to worry about getting him on the ground, but if I can get a shot at that hand.
Like, okay, an ankle. I'd like to not know which ankle because they twist him at the bottom of a pile.
I heard
maybe
a player
running
a couple
back.
Weeks ago. I forget they were talking about some. He was talking about a pony. He goes, we're definitely going to be testing that leg. And they were talking about a player who had a leg injury.
Yeah, I.
Well, I can see that. Yeah, if you got like a cornerback with a leg injury, I'm going to test him. Absolutely.
No, he was talking about hitting.
No, I don't think so.
I also think if you're doing that, you're going down the road of Randy Merriweather. You're going down the road
absolutely.
Of
absolutely. You're going to lose all kinds of money, and you're going to get suspended.
No,
but like
that's bounty gate. You're going to get suspended for that, especially now in this climate.
And I think
you're openly
like,
talking about it.
He said it,
especially with a quarterback. Whether or not you knew he might have had a hand problem, you're always going for a strip sack. So the hand is always going
to
be targeted.
And it's always attached to the ball. You're always going to the ball.
Exactly.
I like the way you just put that, Eric, because that's what absolutely will happen if someone like rips down on the ball. Like, see, that's why we didn't want him to know about the hand. Like, you wouldn't do that.
Exactly.
You know, like, you wouldn't try to knock the ball out of a quarterback's hand.
You would just try to nicely take him down.
Now, if a guy came the other way and, like, strip sacked the left, say he had a left, okay, why are you strip sacking an empty hand?
Like, yeah, right. Yeah, exactly.
Well, that would just be
stupid. Right. Okay, now you could sell me, okay, they're targeting that hand.
Yeah. But it doesn't make any sense that you would try to hide the fact that he has a hand injury.
Fine.
Nobody who's fine does those kind of things.
Sense
nobody who's fine does that.
Because the fact that's out there. Everyone knows.
Yeah, it's the worst kept secret in the world, and he's doing things to draw attention to the hand.
How long did Pete Rose deny that he gambled? Everybody knew, but he went down the road. He had to keep going down
the
road.
That's
right. But I mean, was he filling out gambling cards in the dugout? No.
Well,
kind of. Was
he?
He
was calling. Wasn't he calling from the dugout?
All right, but I mean, like,
he was placing bets when he was managing.
Well, they all knew that whenever he didn't bet on his team, like he claims he never bet against the Reds.
Mm.
Well, yeah, but there were times where he didn't bet for them,
right.
And whenever he didn't bet for them,
that was
the bookies
an indication.
Would know,
yeah.
Okay,
that,
he's not feeling good about this one.
That's a great point, and you also by your actions. When you're betting for them, what are you doing when you're managing?
Right.
You're emptying the bullpen that night because I got to win this game.
Right.
You know, it might not be in the best case, the best interest of your team.
Right.
You know, like a random, you know, July game, all of a sudden, geez, he's treating this like it's the seventh game of the World Series.
That's why gambling is such the, you know, you cannot do it.
Third rail.
It is. Devin writes in, anything else, Eric, before we...
You know, as far as the practice notes, I think it should be important to note that Tommy Kelly doesn't look 100%. And so I think, to expect him to be out there just because he's practicing, maybe pump the brakes a little bit. He still looks like he's working his way back to normalcy with that. And same thing with Leon.
To being all right, which he said he was going to be all right the day that he got hurt.
Well, I mean, and he will be all right at some point, I would
He'll
think.
He'll be fine.
Same thing with Leon Washington.
I don't think he's going to lose the leg or anything.
Who yesterday was doing more, after stretching, went and did rehab type work on that slope where the O lineman drill, working on, backpedaling and trying to do more footwork type things. I think it might be a little too much to expect him to come back immediately and start returning kicks. Maybe, in a couple of weeks, but just the fact that they're out there is a good thing.
They're on the horizon.
Yeah.
Devin says, Big Ben's statement about Brady being the best quarterback in the league because of the number of rings he has. When talking about quarterbacks, a lot of people argue stats versus Super Bowls. Do you believe a quarterback should be graded on stats or the number of Super Bowls? Example, Manning versus Brady, stats versus Super Bowls.
How about both?
Yeah, both.
Everything.
How about use everything?
Yeah.
All the information that you have,
even
available to
even
you.
Even intangibles.
Your eyes,
everything,
what you watch.
Whatever you want to do.
Right.
And it's up to
coach,
you.
Coach, multiple teams, multiple receivers, multiple
scheme.
Changes.
Right.
It's a subjective thing. If Andy's watching two quarterbacks and I'm watching two quarterbacks and Eric's watching two, we might all have different opinions of all those different quarterbacks. Mm.
Kevin O'Connell.
Totally subjective.
I did. Yeah.
So did Bill Belichick.
I liked Kevin O'Connell.
Before we go to the picks, we'll take one more phone call. Big Al's in Georgia. Hey, Big Al.
Fellas, how you doing?
Good.
What's up? Where you been, man?
I've been very, very busy.
Okay.
Sound like you're having lunch.
Oh.
Wait a minute.
What's that?
Or an orgasm.
You just finished?
maybe a bowel movement.
What the?
That was my fault.
Don't ever play that again.
It just blew out eardrums.
Anyways, just to clarify, in case you're scoring at home, the rank that's on the front of Johnny Gomes's helmet is Master Sergeant.
Okay.
Okay, I didn't know that was a question here, but thank you for
that. Just bringing some information to the table.
Bring it.
Just bring a little.
Big Al does. Master Sergeant.
Where does that fall
in the hierarchy?
What that means is the higher, that's E8, so the highest you go is E9, so he's got one more promotion to get. I think we should put him in for a battlefield promotion.
I agree.
So he can get to E9, which would be
Victorino.
Which would be Sergeant Almost. Major. That's as high as you go on that particular scale.
Oh, and then you go to a different scale?
Yeah, I think you're right.
I'm sorry, fellas. I'm a little slow. I'm recovering from all this World Series this week. It's taking
okay,
a while
well,
out.
Thanks. So
are you drunk or drugged or both?
All right, we got to do the picks. Yeah. I just can't continue with that.
I thought he was going to say recovering from, like, dental surgery or something.
No.
I thought for sure that's what
I
was
I figured I'd give him a shot. Maybe we could get some screaming and yelling going before the picks, but he clearly wasn't in the mood.
He was slurred.
Yeah,
I was looking forward to it a little.
A little hangover there.
He doesn't care about the Cardinals struggling.
Tebow talk.
Right.
Plus he had a young,
like, all of a sudden,
young co-ed volleyball player beneath the table or something.
All of a sudden, Joe Namath called into the show. I don't know.
And he was struggling.
All right.
It was a week, Freddie, of
not
favorites.
To be forgotten.
A week of favorites.
It was a week of favorites, and not surprisingly, we all did exceptionally well taking advantage of it. None more so than Fred Kirsch, who just continues to set the pace.
Nah.
12-1. 12-1.
Doing his Richard Nixon wave.
Is that what that is, Richard Nixon?
No, Nixon did the two hands. Too.
What is it? I don't know what that is. I think it's Costanza's father.
Jesus.
Well, anyway, Fred went 12-1.
It's not a bro, it's a man's ear.
And Andy and I went 11-2. So not so much better, but 12-1, 11-2. Eric, you went 9-4.
That's unfortunate.
With the spread, Andy.
Wow.
That's unfortunate.
Is now waving
like Costanza's father.
11-2 for Andy because he just takes the same team either way. He doesn't ever deviate.
I would have made some money.
Eric went 9-4 because he just takes the same team either way. and Fred and I went 8-5 with the spread.
Okay. Maybe you should just take the same team.
Maybe I should. Anyway, overall, the numbers are as follows. Fred is 81-39. I am 79-41. And Andy and Eric are tied at 74-46.
I'm not last.
With the spread.
Well, I am, but
yeah, I'm
Fred is 64-51-5. Eric is 59-56-5. Andy is 58-57-5. And I am in last at 56-59-5.
Wow. Right. Well, you're hovering around Mendoza, though.
By the way, did you notice Fred's has been going to his head? Because I won't mention the media member, but he's now critiquing the picks of other media members.
That was unbelievable, by the way. Where did that come from?
No, that was an email that came to me.
Oh. I know. Like, from what?
It might have been a tweet or something. I just copied and pasted.
Oh, okay.
That was a copy and paste.
Because I was like, who was doing that research?
No, one of the Globe writers, his...
Ben Bolin.
Ben Bolin, if we're going to give it.
No, his record is like... I mean, a third grader could do better.
I particularly like that he was 0-8 with his best bets.
Yeah, his best bets.
You have one game to pick every week, and you haven't won one of them.
How does that happen?
He never picked Jacksonville at least once?
He didn't know which forearm was broken.
Oh, that's true.
I mean, at some point, the paper should say, you know, we're not going to do that anymore. Yeah.
Just kind of like quietly go away.
Quietly go. After the bye week, just don't bring it back.
I mean, this is making your own
The rest
writer.
Of these picks can be found online. Like when they take those TV shows and put them online.
But could you imagine if they did that at the bye week? We just kind of slip it out.
Straight to web.
Maybe,
right.
Maybe no one will notice.
I mean, at some point, doesn't that hurt you as a paper?
Your credibility?
No. Yeah.
Because picks aren't. There's no credibility in picks, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah. I think there is.
I don't. It's all a game.
In any single game, you're right. But overall,
oh,
I think,
shut up. Just because you're leading, it means nothing.
No.
It really is amazing.
Right.
Talk about going to his head.
No, I would say
I've won this contest
year.
Like 6 years in a row.
I think if you're covering the NFL and you're picking games, you should know what you're taught. You should have a decent record. Decent.
You should not be 0-8 in your best bet.
Right.
I will say that. That's embarrassing. But we've all been there. We've all been like 15 games under 500 one year or another. It happens.
I just think if, I mean,
I never have.
Your Godo football and everything else, Bill Belichick, I'm not sure he would dominate if we asked him to pick games every
day. No, not necessarily, but it's not I'm not talking about dominating. I'm talking about what Paul says. 0-8?
I think once in a while he could have a really bad year. I just think.
All right.
That'd be great. Why don't we do that?
What?
Get him to pick games anonymously, and at the end of the year, we'll tell everybody it was him.
And we'll just announce the other guy's picks.
All right, let's start it with
trouble for that?
Tonight's game, Cincinnati at Miami. Cincinnati at Miami.
Cincinnati by 2.5 on the road.
Andy Dalton.
Bengals on a four-game winning streak. Yep. Dolphins on a four-game losing streak.
Oh.
Something's
got to
give.
Jonathan Martin not feeling happy.
No, nothing's got
to
give.
Nothing has to give.
The streaks shall continue.
Yes.
Because the Cincinnati Bengals are starting to play like a contender.
Agreed.
And they're playing against a pretender. Remember when I mocked the Dolphins? 3-0, hashtag, it's our time.
Right.
Oh, well, what happened? Is October, November not your time? No, apparently it's not.
Now it's
Dolphins.
Their time.
Right, that's what they were saying. After three games, that was their time. Now
Idiots.
It's over.
Fins up. Fins down.
Yeah, Bengals to win and cover.
What was the spread?
2.5.
Just so I don't get accused of, he never makes no pick. Yeah.
2.5.
Both
well,
ways.
You don't.
Both ways.
Should I go back and look?
Why do you think the spread's so small?
Short turnaround week, those Thursday night games are ugly. Remember
Let me check
we had
it
that?
And make sure I didn't mess it up.
No, you're right, Paul. Paul, I have them up right now. You're right.
Okay. That might be funny.
Kevin says it's right.
Okay. Do they know something we don't?
Well, I think it's just the fact that it's a Thursday night
ugly
game.
Thursday night game.
That's short turnaround.
That's probably what it is.
You know?
No one ever plays well on Thursday. I will take the Bengals as well.
I got to take the Bengals, too. I don't know if there's something that I'm missing here. I think the Bengals win easily. But,
yeah.
Well, they're not even though they have a four-game winning streak, they're not exactly the most proven, trusted.
No, but right now they're playing really well.
Yeah, but any team that isn't, like, proven Patriots trusted, if they've won four in a row, it means they're due for one of their crap games where they say,
and they were,
I didn't see that coming.
And they were pretty fortunate.
They could be looking at it as a trap game.
And they were pretty fortunate to beat the Lions 2 weeks ago. Now, they had a great game against the Jets, but, you know, who doesn't?
Oh, wait, us. he's a bad guy, Fred.
Yeah, well, I mean, the Jets do stink. I mean, just because they beat us doesn't mean they're now good, right?
Well, just because they beat us and almost
beat us.
That was
their Super Bowl.
Okay. Yeah. So, but you don't think they're a good team now, do
no,
you?
No, I don't.
You're not going to look back at that and say, oh, that was a better loss than we
thought. I think they have a good defense, even though they let up 49 points to the Bengals.
Well, most of them were scored by the offense. That's why. Given up by the offense.
But I think the Jets do have a good defense, but no, they're not a good team overall.
So. And they struggled the week before that. I don't know. Maybe I'm not necessarily a full believer in the Bengals yet either.
All right. Sunday at 1, Kansas City at Buffalo.
Kansas City by 3.
The tomato cans continue to line up for the Chiefs.
It really is amazing.
Yeah. Well, when you're last place last year, that's what happens, right?
That division's also benefiting from playing the NFC East, which has been very mediocre at best.
Okay.
And that really only affects, what, 2 games?
Yeah. The last place schedule is a misnomer.
Right. It's 2 games different. Yes, you get 2 easy games.
They have the same exact schedule that the first place team in that division except for 2 games.
And in the NFL where, you know, in any given year, you know, the Chiefs were supposed to be the cupcake for somebody, except the Chiefs aren't the cupcake for somebody. What? What was that?
You kind of ran out of breath.
Oh, yeah. Was I breathy like Fred?
Yeah. Lack of breath.
Somebody who's a Bills fan guaranteed me that they're going to pull the upset this week.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Who do you know?
I really wouldn't be surprised. I think a Bills fan, not a Bulls fan.
Yeah, who do you know that's a Bills fan?
I forget his name.
There's a lot of Bills fans around here.
His name's Bill.
Yeah. But I'm just going with Kansas City. They're playing good
Scott.
Defense. Yeah. Sasson, right?
Yeah.
He has an EJ Manuel jersey, you know.
Oh my God.
Loser. The Chiefs defense will dominate. It's Thad Lewis, right?
Maybe.
He's questionable, I believe.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, we don't know.
He's definitely questionable. But he's probably gonna play. And I think he stinks, and I think Justin Houston's gonna run through him. What was the spread?
3.
Oh yeah. Chiefs both ways.
I will take the Chiefs both ways, too, but I am not going to be stunned if this is the game that the Chiefs lose.
Because they're like every other team in the NFL. Every game is decided by a touchdown, a score, or less.
But they are the better team, so I'll give them their due.
Yeah, I'm going to take Kansas City, too, but I agree with Eric. I think this is an upset alert. I think that Buffalo is capable of knocking them off because I don't think there's that much difference between the teams. I'm not a believer in Kansas City at all.
Oh, I'm a believer in their defense.
Despite the record.
Decent defense.
I think their defense is pretty damn good.
They're all right. They've beat up on a lot of bad offenses.
So they played in the NFL this year.
I don't think there's a lot of bad offenses. They just happen to have found most of them. That's all.
Yeah.
I will take Kansas City.
I kind of.
And he's going to have to have a Big Al moment.
And he's going to have to leave for a while. They're playing a clip of Bo running
with like guys running out angles of the tunnel that he pulls Seahawks. Away from with like 10 yards.
Now he just runs down the tunnel.
With
freak
Buffalo,
of all freaks.
With
greatest freak of all time. This isn't even a debate. This
Fred's
is
trying
Jackson.
To make a pick. Why don't you give some respect to the first place?
I mean, look at his skin tight pants and his bulging muscles.
Whoa. Hey, hold on.
What did his groin look like?
With Buffalo. Not a threat. I'll be rooting for them. But
so is yours.
I gotta believe Kansas City wins easily because
I'm
of
like
the
Gronk at a party after a Viagra.
No, oh, boy.
Atlanta at Carolina Sunday at 1. Atlanta at Carolina.
Carolina by 7.5.
Yeah, you know, Atlanta's still in it. They didn't trade Tony Gonzalez. They're going for the Super Bowl. I'm gonna go with Carolina because we all know they got a good defense and the offense is just falling apart in Atlanta. Not too many weapons. Blah blah blah. Cam Newton, Superman. Panthers.
That's going to be a tough game when New England goes down there.
Heck yeah. Luckily, we get everybody back.
Maybe. I will go with...
Fred said they'd all be back.
I'll go with Carolina, the home team.
Never finer.
Yeah, I think Carolina wins the game. I will take the extra half point there, and I'll take the points. But I think Carolina will find a way
What's
to
the
win.
Number?
7.5.
I'm going to take Carolina both ways.
Fred, that's why you're the smart one.
Minnesota
that's true, because that's what you guys do.
Minnesota at Dallas, Sunday at 1. Minnesota at
Dallas. By 10.5.
Oof, big number for them.
Dallas by 10.5.
I'm going to take Dallas to win.
But?
And cover, because that's what I do.
I will take Dallas to win, but I don't trust them, so I'll take the number.
I will take Dallas, and I'll lay the points, because this is what Dallas does. You know, they lose games and they come back and beat up on a weakling at home and everybody says, oh, the Cowboys are back. You know, Tony Romo's like LeBron James.
I'm going to do that same thing.
Or maybe Stephen Jones is the only one who
I really
said
think
that.
Minnesota stinks. Sunday at 1, New Orleans at
the New Jersey Jets?
New Orleans by 6, coming off a bye.
I'll take New Orleans to win and cover. I know the Jets have a pretty good defense, but it's a run-first-based defense, I think. They can stop the run. I think that Saints offense, and Jimmy Graham's playing, right, with the
played last week.
Yeah, played well.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. They're going to win. They'll cover it.
Yeah.
I'd be afraid if it was more than a touchdown, but they're going to win by a touchdown.
So. Oh, yeah.
Booyah.
At least a touchdown, probably 10 or more. I'll say Saints win and cover.
Yeah, me too.
Me too.
Saints. It's a breeze.
Oh, I love it. Love it. Jets will finally drop below 500. Love it.
That's true.
Tennessee at St. Louis. Tennessee at St. Louis.
Tennessee by 3.
Tough game.
I'll take Tennessee. I don't like Kellen Clemens, even though Quinning is on fire.
I don't know. This is
the
a
Rams
tough game.
Played so tough against the 48
Seattle.
But
I know.
But they seem to do that within their division.
They
you know?
Do in their division, and
yeah.
It was Seattle on the road, and it
right.
Yeah.
Gotta hurry up.
I've
got a lot of picks.
I'll take the Rams.
Oh, Quinning.
In the upset.
Okay.
I just don't buy Tennessee.
Yeah, I agree with Eric. I'm going to take Tennessee. So it's a variation from my two crap teams, take the home team. The backup quarterback. If Bradford were playing, I would take the Rams. But I think Andy's right. Kellen Clemens stinks.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Tennessee, too. San Diego at Washington, Sunday at 1.
San Diego by 1.
I'll take San Diego to win. I think they're the better football team. I hate the Redskins.
Yeah, I thought the Redskins were going to be a lot better than they have shown this year. And, you know, obviously RG3 has been a lot of that. But in honor of Anchorman 2 coming out, I am not going to flip them off. I'm going to say...
Fred laughs every single
time.
Now, I laugh at Eric's react because he's so, you know, satisfied with it, you know?
Yeah, Eric is right. I'm going to take the Chargers, too.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Chargers as well.
Big game for the Chargers.
You see...
5-3 at the halfway point.
Yeah,
they'd be on in the wild card
they're
hunt.
They're battling.
It's a big game for them.
Was it San Diego's paper that joined the Won't Say the Redskins? One of the papers in California.
Oh, really?
Oh, no, San Francisco, those liberals.
Oh, that figures.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They won't say the Redskins' name now.
Hippie freaks.
Yeah. More than that. Frisco.
Well, what's wrong with that?
What? It's
Patriots formation. Why do they deserve to get made fun of for that?
For what?
What you're trying to insinuate.
Insinuate what? I was calling a Patriots play. It's Frisco.
Yeah, but you were saying it with a derogatory tone.
You know, what's
that
wrong
sub
with that?
Doesn't give you gas?
What's wrong with that? Change the subject.
What's wrong with that?
I answer the question!
Philadelphia at Oakland, Sunday, 4:05. Philadelphia
Oakland
at Oakland
by 2.5.
I am going to take Oakland because two bad teams are at home, and I'm not sure they can overcome the loss of a big man in the middle, like Sopagoa.
Big win for Oakland last week.
Yeah.
Who'd have thunk it?
This game's in Philly?
Nope.
Oakland. No, it's in Oakland.
There's no there.
There, you're right.
Paul's just giving me
no idea what that
I
means.
Even that's what that's there about. There? That's you know no there they are famous quote.
Yeah.
It's about Oakland.
It's about Oakland. From
some woman.
Ingrid Bergman.
Stein. Gloria Stein.
Gloria Steinem.
No, not Gloria Steinem.
Franken?
Gildress.
No. Stop it. I'll think of it. I'll think
now.
Stop it.
Mark?
No. Jesus.
Steinway piano.
I will take
no one found
I'll
Franken
take
funny there. He says Stein.
Yes,
I
know you said Franken. I heard you.
It's Halloween.
Gertrude Stein.
The worst part is I still don't have any idea what
You've
anybody's talking about.
Never heard that quote. There's
somebody
no
asked
there,
her about
there.
Oakland.
There's
she
no
said,
there,
she
there?
Said there's no there there.
It's
as if there's
like
nothing to it. There's nothing special about Oakland.
Yeah.
No one goes there anymore. It's too packed.
You know that?
Whatever.
It's, yeah, it's one of those
it's a little
kind
bit
of
a yogiism.
Yeah. You've never heard
never
that
heard
either?
I've heard. I think I've heard.
You don't know fracking. You don't know famous quotes.
Fracking.
Why do you read?
In my defense, I know nothing about anything except for sports.
Well, I know.
I don't
include you
but
in the
Fred's
group.
Well read. He
right.
should know.
He should know something. And I asked him what fracking was. Something
about
to do with natural gas.
You do this. That's very mocking
Isn't
of you.
Isn't a fracking clue?
We do need cameras sometimes. I'll take Oakland, too. It might be the first time all year.
Me,
probably
too.
Probably the
only. Oakland.
I didn't even take him against Jacksonville.
Sunday, 4:05,
really?
Tampa Bay at
I took
Seattle.
The points.
Oh.
Well, that's an easy one.
Tampa Bay at Seattle.
What's the number, just in case?
Yeah. 16.5.
Ooh. That's a big number.
Yeah, it is.
I'll take Seattle to win. That's an easy one. I'll take them to cover, because that's going to be another interception by Glennon.
Oh, nice.
You used your line.
I will definitely take Seattle to win, but that number is tempting.
Shouldn't be. They hate their coach.
They do.
You see, if Shiano had a better handle on the team, you could say, "Oh, he'll get them up, and the defense will play tough, and they'll beat that spread." But I don't think
he doesn't. Well, I was ready to just lay the point. I mean, take the points, but I was all worried. Now, Shiano, he's going to let Darrell Revis cover people and stuff, so it's kind of radical. I don't know.
I just think in the middle of the year, if they really don't like him, now's the point where they intentionally lose games. They don't put a lot of effort in, and they say he's out so we can get a guy in.
That I actually think that Seattle covers this game for the reason Andy said. I think the defense will probably score a little bit. They're just a different team playing at home. I will lay the points.
Seattle both ways.
But how stupid is that? He decided, I'm going to let Revis match up with guys. You're going to let him play man coverage. Wow. That's great.
Right.
The greatest cornerback in his generation.
Well, what he didn't
took
say
you eight
was
games.
Bill called him and told him now he should do it.
Right.
Well, that's that before or after he said you should trade him to me for nothing.
Baltimore like at it. Cleveland, 425. Baltimore at Cleveland.
Baltimore by 2.5.
Cleveland.
I'll take Baltimore to win and cover. I just can't pick the Browns. Who's playing quarterback for them? Campbell. Ugh. Never liked him.
He had a really good week last week.
Yeah, but he's a guy that goes a whole year with like four touchdowns when he was in Washington. I mean, stank ass.
Baltimore's having trouble though.
Yeah, but I still think they're better than that.
They're just a
better
team.
And cover.
I'm going to take Baltimore too, but Fred's right. They have not inspired.
I'm going to take Cleveland in a little bit of an upset. All right, we're going to skip over the Pittsburgh New England game at 4:25 and go to Sunday night. Indianapolis at Houston.
Indy by 2.5.
I'm going to take Indy because they're the better team right now.
Yeah, they are.
I can't make a case for Keenum.
No. Oh, I see what you did there. I see what you did there. Very
I can't
well
it
done.
It took you a half a
I
second.
Very
to
well
see what
done. I was watching the Red Sox highlights on the screen above you and half listening to you, but that was good. Same thing. I think Indy's the better team, and I think we're seeing the last days of Kubiak in Houston.
Really? Okay.
I agree.
He's going to take his leather jacket and ride off into the sunset.
Yeah, I'm going to take Indy as well. They're just flat-out better team.
Yeah, got to go with Indy.
Although, losing Reggie Wayne, they got to move forward here.
Monday night, 8:40, Chicago at Green Bay.
Green Bay.
By 11.
By 11.
By 11.
Ha! Well done, Paul.
Is Cutler out?
Yes. Nothing gets by you, picks leader.
Yeah, I'm going to take Green Bay. I'm not taking a Bears at Packers without Cutler. No freaking way.
Eric?
I may have sharted.
Oh, my God. what's the number again, Paul? Sorry.
11.
11.
I'll take the Pack.
No, he's been a Packer.
But give me the points.
Okay.
You're taking the points with the Bears?
Yeah. I am going to lay the points.
Tough.
I'm going to take the Packers.
Interdivision game.
That is true. That is true.
It is, but without Cutler.
Yeah, but still, Bears put up a fight, I think.
Yeah, they could. Who's their quarterback now?
One of the McCowns, McNowns, Malowns.
Cabe or Labe. Yeah.
Labe?
I think it's Josh McCown.
Josh.
But I'm not positive. Maybe Luke.
One of them had a hot wife.
Really?
Remember? Oh, yeah, playmate or something.
I'm going to go with Green Bay. I'll lay the points as well. All right, so now we go back to Sunday at 4:25. Pittsburgh at New England.
Patriots by 7.
Patriots by 7.
That's a tough one. It's the football team. 6 of 8 games decided by a touchdown or less, so that's 7.
What's the Patriots record versus spread this year?
I don't know
it's not good.
I don't think it is.
Start giving those out?
It's something like 2-6.
Yeah. ATS. I'm going to take the Patriots to win.
throwing out his acronyms.
All the stuff we talked about earlier. The Steelers don't force turnovers. They turn the ball over. Patriots force turnovers. Don't turn the ball over. Patriots, I think, are going to run. They can't stop the run. Protection's an issue for both sides.
Right.
I'm going to go with the home team. You know, two questionable teams, and I don't think these teams are all that far apart.
Bill went to great lengths to explain that, and there was nothing in there that I could really pick at to say, wow, is he really laying it on this week? Everything he said was valid.
I just think, you know, I'm where I am on this team, which is they're going to score 20-something. They're going to need to make a couple plays to win the game. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be pretty, but they'll get the job done in the end. So I'm going to say, similar, you know, 24-17. So, I'll go 24-16, and just, I guess I'll lay the points.
Okay.
I will take the Patriots to win. I'm really scared about this game, though.
You should be.
I really am. I think this is a game they could very easily lose.
I agree. Antonio Brown's going to kick your ass, bitch.
Even though the Steelers have not played well against pretty bad teams this year, they've just not played well. I think this is a game that could get away from the Patriots, but I will take them to win. The number is, again, Paul?
7.
I'll take the points.
Oh, okay.
I think it's going to be less than a touchdown. Maybe you come down to a Stephen Gostkowski last second kind of thing. I will go 23-20. Patriots win.
Yeah, I understand all the trepidation about the game because I do think there's a lot of similarities between the teams. To me, the overriding difference is on very few occasions have the Patriots done things that beat themselves, and Pittsburgh has done it throughout, and that's why one is 6-2 and the other's 2-6. And I think that will happen again on the road. I think Pittsburgh is much better than their record, but not anywhere near the Steelers teams that we're used to.
Oh,
and,
God, no.
And I think the Patriots will win this game. 27-16.
Yeah. I think the Patriots cover. I think they get 31 points.
Ooh.
And keep the Steelers to the mid to high teens. So they
comfortable victory.
Yeah, comfortable victory. Comfortable victory.
No fears at all about the
I mean, look.
Are you mentally prepared to lose?
No.
Oh.
No.
If they lose this game, I will not be mentally prepared for it.
It means you're going to be smacking the table and throwing things in the press box and
exactly. Yeah.
Pulling a Bill Polian.
I was about to say, asking
to have Doug Flutie's leg broken and that kind
of thing. That wasn't me. That was Bill Polian.
Right, okay. Because I think this game should be competitive for some
point. I would
expect it to be until the turnovers get it out of reach.
I firmly expect the Patriots to enter the bye at 7-2. All right, well, John Rooks here. That's the end of our show. And, John, you've got a special guest.
We're going big time today.
Yeah.
Eric? We're going big time. Well, that's one.
Yeah.
That's one. He's right there with it. Jim Nantz, CBS Sports, is going to join us in the program.
Nice.
Your old friend.
Yeah,
my old friend. Long-time friend, actually, believe it or not. It's just been a number of years since we usually cross paths, but we try to do this every 2 or 3 years. His schedule's much busier than mine, believe it or not, with all of his
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I am not so sure.
Well, then I'll put it this way. He makes a hell of a lot more money than I do.
All right. Well,
wait, I got a follow-up on yesterday. Where's your cranberry bog? Where do you live?
Berkeley.
Oh, okay.
Did you have some of the bread? It was phenomenal.
Oh, my God. It's more like cake.
Moist.
Well, we were saying.
Exactly. Well, I want you to know, Fred, because of your eagerness to dive in yesterday, Robin has told me she's going to bake you your own.
Oh, nice. No. That's not fair.
That isn't
that's
fair.
That's terrible.
I said it was good, too.
Nice.
And
Robin to bake 5 of them.
I think she's going to.
Does she pick them herself?
Does she do coffee cake?
Coffee
that's
cake?
That's great. Look forward to that.
Cranberry.
Cranberry
cake.
A lot of antioxidants. That's good for you, Fred.
John's up next.
Like the cookies we get everywhere.
I'm so glad you're worried about my health. All right.
Yeah. That was close.
All right.
Wow.
John's up next at Football Nation. We'll see you next Tuesday.
You try to scream, but Jared, take the sound before you make it. You start to breathe.
This is PFW in progress.
They're creepy and they're kooky, mysterious and spooky. They're all together, Wookie, the Addams Family.
PFW in progress with Fred Kirsch.
I see dead people.
Paul Perillo.
A census taker once tried to test me. I ate his liver with some fava beans and a nice Chianti.
And Andy. And Andy?
I'm your number one fan.
Andy Hart.
Hi, I'm Chucky. Wanna play?
Eric Scalavino.
Blank, pale, emotionless face and the blackest eyes. The devil's eyes.
PFW in progress. Part of the Patriots Football Network.
They're coming to get you.